Dear venerable sisters and brothers, Dhamma friends, this is the time for our day's question and answer session or the Dhamma discussion. So today also we are going to conduct it in English medium. So I cordially invite him to present the questions already available in written form. And meanwhile, I invite everyone, those who are participating, if they have any questions or statements or topics suitable for the moment, please come out with. Meanwhile, while we are conducting this discussion, so that is also kept open. So we will anyway start with what is already written.
We have here this on the introduction CD this morning. Samadhiya issarahin tabanna epa, satya issarahin tabanna. Can you please explain this concept a little more? Theravan sir.
The question is that why it has been instructed to keep the mindfulness at the foremost and not the concentration. And the explanation for that is that whenever you are observing the order that the Buddha has presented, it says Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya. They have their own dependent order, the origination or chain action as far as the Saddha, the faith is there. That particular person has enough energy to do something. So therefore, the faith initiating the energy faculty. Energy is the proximate factor for the concentration, the mindfulness, the sati to arise. So therefore, once you become mobilized, when you have enough energy, then you can maintain the vigilance or close observation or mindfulness, diligence. And therefore, energy aspect is the proximate cause for the mindfulness. And once the mind becomes mindful, naturally it becomes concentrated. In other words, mindfulness is the proximate factor for the concentration to arise. And once the concentration happens, you see things as they are. So this is the way it is being presented. And when you analyze the Noble Eightfold Path, it says Samma Vayama, Samma Sati, Samma Samadhi. Samma Vayama means that the correct energy, and then that it leads to mindfulness. And when the mindfulness comes into a certain degree, it leads to concentration. So therefore, respecting the order, one has to take care about one's own energy, and that is, if this is assured, mindfulness will be there. And that is the most proximate factor for the mindfulness to arise. So once you become mindful, it is not necessary to have a special effort to develop concentration. Naturally, mindfulness leads to concentration. That is why it says, instead of the concentration, take care about mindfulness, and ultimately you will gain the concentration that is the concentration that is your desire. That is why it is in the instruction, it says take care about the mindfulness and concentration will naturally set in.
So, Subhante, can I ask a little question about it? So when I'm doing that the morning the sitting, so you sitting on the posture, sitting posture, so you are not focusing a particular place. So you said to be aware of what is happening around you and keep the mind inside. My question is, do you have to focus? I'm just talking about the very beginning of the meditation. Do you have to focus a particular place in the body, or because sometimes the mind is loosened, just go away, or sometimes you fall to sleep, it happened a couple of times before. So my question is, at the very beginning, just to bring the awareness, and is there a place to watch?
I have, in order to understand, I have to go little one step earlier, that what made me to give that instruction was that in your case you are trying to catch hold and chase behind the in-breath and out-breath, ultimately it becomes force breathing, and breathing and the mind and the body become agitated, and ultimately you get exhausted, or you develop the doubt whether should I go to the rising and falling of the abdomen or the breath, and sometimes rising and falling give kind of concentration or calm down. So that is the question. That is why I thought, take one step back and be aware of the breath, the body. Then you sit comfortably. Keeping the attention in the body means you are not extrovert, you become introvert. You try to understand what is happening in the body. And whatever the object arises within the body, is a very good object for you, or object of meditation. So while you're observing, you have to see if the breathing going to draw your attention, why not? You can focus upon the breathing. But you are not chasing behind it, you are not waiting for that, you are not expecting it. If the rising and falling happen, that you select according to its occurrence. And therefore you have to be very patient and let the object to come and do itself. Till that you have the vigilance, you have the diligence, you have the mindfulness and the awareness as to keep the attention within the body, and whatever the object arises in form of breathing, maybe some pain, some kind of rising and falling in the abdomen or breath. So that is, you have to go by the prominency of the object, the grossness of the object. So therefore, you are waiting but not decided yet. Let the object to come and prove this is the most prominent, this is the most gross object. So in that sense, when you observe in the body, when you observe within, not here and there, that is also a task. What is the most prominent experience you get, what you feel inside the body?
Well, what I notice most of the time is that the sound of silence, say like, can hear that what's happening around, but that's a one sitting, so it's...
You know that you have to define the sound of silence. Sound of silence means not what is happening around. Sound of silence means something happening, if I get the term correctly, arising within your body. So, in your early statement also, you say you are aware of what is happening around. No, it is not the matter. That is the thing you are prevent. You try to see, you try to focus what is happening within the body. So, within the body, as far as you are successful, what is the kind of experience that will be guiding? What do you experience when you are, after good walking meditation, come and sit symmetrically and relax way. And try to be aware here, now I am sitting, or be in the present moment, or try to see the power of now. And we are observing what is the experience, and that I can share, but if you can't communicate with me about the experience you get it, my simple advice is go by the priority, go by the grossness of the object, whatever it is arising within the limits of the body.
Isn't that what you feel like you're sitting on the cushion, so you feel that, you know, that's touch on the cushion. So then one sometimes goes to your concentrated anapanasati, the breathing, and then it goes some thoughts, then it's come back. So it's like whatever happening in the few area you're watching, or you're not focusing directly to the one point.
Leave aside the focusing, the way the information you gave, at a time you experience the touching points, at a time you feel the in-breath and out-breath, at a time mind is wandering to thoughts. Compared to that, your early experience when you are trying to focus on the breath, breath become gross, body become gross, and you get exhausted. When compared to that, which one is more comfortable, which one is more productive? So we are giving an alternative and try to compare it with experience which is leading to more calm and quiet collected, and that is the way we must proceed. When you go further, selecting this least frictional path, it will lead you more and more subtle states. So therefore, first and foremost, you have to understand early method you applied is wrong because this is agitating. Instead, now mind is not focused but not agitated, not getting exhausted. So therefore, I feel, according to the information, this is better. Keep on practicing, and while practicing, you can see what is the most frequent physical. Is it touching point, or the breath, or thoughts, whatever may be. But the touching point and the breath is a valid object because it is within the body. But the thoughts are outward, so we don't entertain it. We don't care about the thoughts, and we try to see which one is more worth anchoring.
Yes, that's the breath.
So let the breath happen. Only difference is earlier you were chasing behind. Now breath will come and prove that is the frequent visitor and worth or trustworthy to take it as an object of meditation. And let that first step, I mean the letting the breath to come and prove, and then only you are going to observe the breath. Till that you isolate the breath from the other objects, once that come and become face to face, then only you are going to see how much is the in-breath and how much is the out-breath. When the out-breath happened, no in-breath, not the in-breath happened, no out-breath. And what are the characteristics like? It gradually, slowly, slowly going into the deep, plunging into the object and going to give more and more natural characteristics. So the point that I am going to make it is here, it must be very gradual, very straightforward, and leading episodes other than jumping and going to catch something far beyond.
Next question. When cover a stone or hard surface pressed onto my feet, probably looks like a walking meditation, I saw pain started as it touched. Venerable Bhante, my walking meditation, I started my walking meditation on a long stretch. Therefore, I marked two trees as my destination. I started concentrating on left and right. Gradually, I found lifting, moving forward and keeping on the ground. Continuing on that, I felt like another two legs moving in front of me, and my two legs are attached to those and moving alone. Also, I realized that when I come to end point without any thoughts, I automatically turn back even without thinking. I try to see how I do that. I saw that when I see the sign, brain work on a preconceptual mode or program structure. Number two. Next day, I did walking meditation without shoes. I started concentrating on left and right, then moved to lifting and place, and after some time, started watching lifting, moving forward and placing on ground. There, I started looking at the pain. I got it when I wear a... it's a stone or hard surface pressed onto my feet. I saw pain started as it touched. It increased when the whole body stand on it, and pain released when my lift my leg. I identified that as Dhamma Yuto, as touch gives a sign, touches give a sign and feeling. Kindly let me explain while meditating when it is good to relate to the Dhamma we learn.
I would like to know, it's an explanation for me, early session of meditation is something lacking, huge vacuum. That means in arithmetical term, you have written the sum, you have worked it out, and you have not given the answer. That means you have not given me, but you experience in left and right. When you are experiencing in lifting and dropping. But you are experiencing lifting, moving, dropping. So early parts, very quick, very good explanation, but the pit, the sap, the essence is missing. The second session, little bit of explanation is there. When you are standing on or stepping on the hard surface, you can feel the pain. And the remarkable feature was that you are without shoes. So therefore, for my understanding, the second session is more fruitful, more down to earth. And even then, if the question I can include, he saw her experience, under the nose experience, that is the one giving the essence of this interview or for this question and answer session. And instead asking, when can I include my rational mind, my deductive knowledge, and that means I feel the direct knowledge, experience, the direct touch is not being treated properly, and it has, even if it is experience, is not being included in the explanation. That means giving more value for the deductive knowledge rather than the direct touch. So that is the worst case. That you can mislead the mind to your theoretical knowledge, deductive knowledge, rational knowledge, and ultimately you are hindering, you are mistreating, you are misbehaving toward the direct touch. So don't do it. Try to get as much as possible the direct touch or under the nose experience. And not only that, most important point is, you are relating to your experience, your interviews, and you are writing, you must include this as the essence of your experience, the pith of your experience. And if it is lacking, even your experience, if you can't express it, the communication won't take place. Instead, you are bound to get the taste of deductive knowledge. I think that is not vipassana. I mean, it's a mistreating vipassana. Therefore, try to keep the direct touch as much as possible. Definitely, I will assure you, the deductive knowledge will follow. Yogi has nothing to intentionally promote deductive knowledge. Deductive knowledge is such a habitual thing, addiction, you can't do away with it. Therefore, you must understand in this situation, you must as much as possible give the priority for the direct touch, and not only understanding, not only experiencing, not only getting this direct touch, but most important thing is, how can you relate in your interviews? How can you tell others what you experience under your very nose? And this is how your mind become more brushed, your mind become more mobilized. Mind become more ready for the next walking meditation to pick more and more direct touch, the essence, the natural characteristic, the individual characteristic on the left leg movement, right leg movement, the heel, the middle, and the end toes, and how it relate to the ankle. And how it relate to the knees, how it relate to the upper part area. All these are waiting to come out, unless otherwise mistreat it, unless otherwise don't regard them. So therefore, don't worry about the Dhamma advices or deductive knowledge or rational knowledge. They will come. Keep on practicing. Therefore, I appreciate the second part of the second session of the walking meditation is much, much improved than the early one. And if these kind of experience happen, don't write anything on the first set of session. Give the maximum, the best session, then easy for me to understand. and therefore don't waste time to talk about the wrong walking session you did in the early part, the first part, the first session, that is not the one. The second thing is the only one giving the information. And next time when you do walking meditation, pick, catch as much as possible natural characteristics, as much as possible by personal characteristics of the individual events, and you may find the object and the walking, the object or object means the walking, left leg and the right leg, and the observing mind will be very close so that there won't be much of distraction from the outside. So, the only the lacking thing hearing is that lack of respect for this essence, lack of respect for Dhammasap, natural characteristics or individual characteristic. In the next session of walking meditation, try to pick as much as possible whenever they are ready, whenever they are face to face.
Well, there is two questions very similar together, so I'll just put together.
Yeah.
Please, Pante, please explain the difference between Sati and Samadhi. Next one. According to the book, Power of Now, be a present moment, is it similar to Sati? And the next, another person asked me a very similar question. Present moment, mama dan metana, just means it's not allowing your mind to run away here and there and keep in a one place, or tamunda tamanna feel vimada karana karapada
singalen kiyanne
mama dan metana yanen adhas kale sitha ehime duwannata nodi wenamam metanama thaba ganeemata natnam tamanta tamanna feel vim karana kara pahedili karade.
Two questions are separate, so we'll tackle the first one. The first one is a theoretical basically, but usually I have not take time much of the theory, but it is something comparing the mindfulness with the concentration, so therefore in order to give the real picture, we are just comparing the mindfulness versus concentration, the sati versus the samadhi. So that's the very beginning that I explained. The sati is leading to samadhi, and the sati is be awakened to the present moment, or be aware of the present moment. And therefore, sati, whatever it may be the object, if you as and when it arises, if you can be aware of, that means sati is there. But the concentration to happen, the object must be the same. You must be applying the mind to the same object. Otherwise, when the objects are changing, mindfulness, the sati will be maintained, but you doubt is this the kind of concentration, is this the conventional concentration. So therefore, conventional concentration, samatha samadhi, is usually you take one particular object and apply mind again and again there, and then the mindfulness is there, the continuity of mindfulness going to give the absorption and more close relationship with the object, and that collect and calm on the object is a concentration. But be aware that you are face to face with the object, or be aware of the present moment, be aware of the present phenomena is the mindfulness. So therefore you have to understand mindfulness is leading to concentration, and mindfulness is the one you can take responsibility about. But once the mindfulness is taken the momentum, concentration will set in. So therefore, taking chance or taking responsibility over the mindfulness, as a busy lay people, wherever you may be, whatever may be the object arises, if you are aware, you can be happy, you can be glad that your mindfulness is there. But the concentration to happen, you must sit in one place, external atmosphere must be controlled, and you can apply the mind again and again to the same object, and even then the mindfulness is leading, and you get more absorbed to the object, that is what the concentration. So in the busy life, you have very little conducive conditions for the concentration to arise. I mean the conventional concentration. But if you develop the art of mindfulness, wherever changing objects, still you can be mindful. And whenever the mind falls calm and quiet on the even the changing object or even single object, later you can develop so-called vipassana concentration. That is very dramatic. Even in the changing objects you can do. So therefore, that is why make me to say, take care of the mindfulness, and ultimately whether it is samatha samadhi or vipassana samadhi, whatever it may be, arise according to the circumstances. So therefore, understanding the difference between the concentration and mindfulness is necessary, is important. And after understanding, give the priority to the mindfulness, and then slowly, once the mindfulness get the momentum, concentration will set in. So concentration is kind of false calm and collected on the particular object. Mindfulness means be aware of the present moment.
අවසාන සාරාංශයේ පොඩ්ඩක් සිංහලෙන් මේ වැඩිදුරට අපි ආසයි සිංහලවන්වාසේ වචන යಾದදී ඉන්සමනලා ඉංග්‍රීසියෙන් පස්සේ එක වචන සාරාංශයක්
ආව එහෙම නෝ පුළුවන් මොකද සෙෂන් එක ඉවරනකොට මගේ මෙමරි එක ගිහිල්ලා ආදී you know the matter talking about now they say that please give a briefing in sinhala yes so ඒක ප්‍රශ්න සිංහලෙන්ද තියෙනවා ඉස්සෙල්ලා
ඒක ඉංග්‍රීසි second question according to
නෑ මේ කියුබ් එක ප්‍රශ්න සිංහලෙන්
ඉංග්‍රීසියෙන්
තියෙනවා ඉංග්‍රීසියෙන් කියවන්නකෝ ප්‍රශ්න
first Bhante, please explain the difference between sati and samadhi
sati samadhi කියන දෙක චෛතසික දෙකක් සතියෙන් කරන්නේ එළඹිච්ච තත්ත්වයක පැමිණිච්ච තත්ත්වයක එළඹසිටි එක තෝරන්නේ පැමිණිච්ච කොහොමද අධ්‍යන නරකත් ආරිත වැරද්ද යුක්ති දෛත්‍යද නැ පැමිණ දෙයට එළඹ සිටීමයි වර්තමානට එළඹ සිටීමයි සමාධිය කියලා කියන්නේ ඒකාග්‍රතාවය ඒකෝදි භාවය ඒ අරමුණටම নিমগ্ন වෙන එකයි ඉතින් සතිය පිටවන්න පුළුවන් වෙනස් වෙන අරමුණ තියේදී නමුත් සමාධිය ගන්න සමත සමාධිය ගන්න අරමුණ එකක්ම වෙන්න ඕන ඒ නිසා ජීවිතය ගත කරන කාර්යබහුල කෙනෙකුට එකම අරමුණක් දිහා බලන ඉන්න වෙලාවක් හම් වෙන්නේ නැති නිසා එවෙන කෙනෙකුට අවස්ථාවක් තියෙනවා භවනා ලෝකයට පිවිසෙන්නේ සතියාරා සතිය කරන්නේ පැමිණෙන ඕනෑම දෙයක් වර්ගීකරණය කියන්නේ නැතුව පූර්ව නිගමනයෙන් තොරව වෙත එළඹ සිටීම. නමුත් එහෙම කෙනෙකුට වුණත් එහෙම බොහෝ අරමුණු විශේෂයි. ඉනේන චිත්තක්ෂණයේ සතිමත් වීම හරහා විපස්සනා සමාධිය කියලා එකක් තියෙනවා. ඒ විපස්සනා සමාධිය හුඟක් සතිය දිනුවොත් එනවා. ඒ නිසා එහෙම කෙනෙකුට වුණත් ඉස්සරහට සමථ සමාධි හරහා යන කෙනෙක් එක්ක යන ගමනට යොදු වෙලා යනවා. ඒ නිසා සත්‍ය සමාධි කියන දෙක වෙන්කොට හඳුනා ගැනීම යෝගාවචරයට වැදගත් වෙනවා. මම සාමාන්‍ය මේ වගේ මේ මූලධර්ම ප්‍රශ්න ගන්නෑ. මේ භාවනා කරන ප්‍රීසත නම් සත්‍යයත් එක්ක සංසන්දනයක් කරන්න නිසා මම මේ ප්‍රශ්නට එළඹුණා. අනිත් ප්‍රශ්න.
According to the book Power of Now, be a present moment, is it similar to sati?
Power of Now is given by Eckhart Tolle, and he has written the book Power of Now, and Venerable Jnana Konika, the German monk, he has written Power of Mindfulness. I see both are the same. Power of Now and Power of Mindfulness, because mindfulness is be awakened to the present moment. So it's exactly the same thing, but both of them are coming from the West Hemisphere. But the Eckhart Tolle has no kind of a Buddhist background, and his all example are extracted from the Bible. But instead, when of Jnana Konika, he has written Power of Mindfulness, he has reduced as much as possible, but whatever the examples or quotation from the Tipitaka. So when you read it, you find the same concept. එක දාලා තියෙනවා සනසුමට මඟ කියලා ඒ Power of Now කියන පොත ඒක කෙරුවේ කැන්බරා වල ඉන්න අපේ කාර්යවසම් කෙනෙක් නෑ. හේවවිතාන කෙනෙක්. ඒක දැම්මට පස්සේ ඒ power of now කියන එක දැම්මට පස්සේ සිංහලට ඒක කියවපු උඟ දෙනෙක් හේනවන මාතර බැන්නා මේ කතෝලික පොතක් සිංහල දාලා. ඊට පස්සේ මට කියලා තන ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ මේ මෙල්බන් වල පාරච්චු ගහන පහන පත්‍රේ බැලලා දාලා තිනවා මේ ලංකාවෙන් ගිය මිනිස්සු ලංකාවේ තියෙන බුද්ධාම කණ්ඩ හදනවා. මේ කතෝලික පොත පරිවර්තනය කළා තියෙන ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ මත ප්‍රකාශයක් කරන්න ග්‍රන්ථ විවේචන කරන්න කියලා. නැසෙ මල් ලීලා හිටිය පුළුවන් නම් මේ පොත අරගෙන 10 12 කට බෙදලා දෙන්න. මේක නියමයටම සත්‍ය විස්තර කරනවා. ඒ නිසා මේක මෑත කාලෙදී වෙච්ච හොඳ වැඩක් කියලා. بس ඒක ඇත්තටම වෙබ් එකට කියලා තිබුණා, පබ්ලිෂ් වෙලා තිබුණේ නැහැ. කොහොම හරි ඒ කටියේ දිගටම ඒ කටලික පුත්තික දැන් පරිවර්තනය කරගෙන යනවා. ඒක නිසා කෙනෙකුට මේ සංකර ජීවිතයක් ගත කරන කෙනෙකුට සිහිය බලමයි මේ කියලා පොලිස් පබ්ලිකේෂන් සොසයිටි එකේ ඥානපෝණි කාමුලිය පොතත් වර්තමාන මොහොතේ බලය නැත්නම් power of now කියන එක යකාටික පොත් දෙකේම එකම අදහස තමයි දෙවිදිකට ඉදිරිපත් කරන්නේ. ඒකම මම හිතනවා recommend කරන්න පුළුවන් කියලා කියන්න ඕනේ.
සුදු එකනේ දුවත් එක්ක කරගෙන ආවිල්ලා මම ඒක කතා කරා මේ යයිකත් ගෙන්න නයි කාට් වලේ ගෙන්න ලෙවල් ලා සාකච්ඡා කරා බ්‍රිස්බේන් වල නේද
නෙක්ෂන් යබන්තේ when I meditate I started to observe the breath it started long breath in and out for the first at least 20 minutes I know short breath in and out when I get pain in my leg When the pain is gone, the breath is medium, not long at the beginning. A few seconds later, the breath seems do not present. I try to observe, then I see the breath is still there. My question is, is the length of the breath is changed? From time to time, next one, the body is easy to get pain, but only I know through meditation.
Okay, the latter part is not clear. Body is?
The body is easy to get pain, but only I know through meditation. So it's like a statement.
Yes, yes. Early part also asking after meditation, breath becomes shorter and shorter. And why is it? What is the question? I can't remember. But maybe if you are explaining your own experience, don't entertain doubts. Prove it by another observation, then you can see what the Buddha has mentioned, at the beginning you have the long in-breath and out-breath, but don't do it. You just observe the breath, natural breath, without forced breathing. And when you're observing the breath, maybe amidst of all the other distractions like pain and sounds and the thoughts, at whatever may be, if you keep the chronological understanding or observation of the breath, maybe it is increasing the length, maybe reducing the length. So you are the one to experience it and get the confirmation. And as far as you are a meditator, don't expect or don't ask another person to confirm you this is happening and that is happening. So of course at the beginning we have to discuss this kind of thing in the theoretical way. But when you have any kind of doubts, I can give an encouragement, do it again and again. If it is reducing, that you have to confirm by yourself. But don't try to reduce forcefully. Don't try to do long breath at the beginning. And that is a kind of messing up. That is a kind of forking fingers. Just let the breath to happen and keep the breath face to face as much as possible and see how with the chronological change or evolution or metamorphosis of the breath as the time passes. And if you have any doubt, the
best way is to rectify the doubt is to practice again and again. By practicing, you will do away with the doubts and ultimately the confidence, the mental power will be for the benefit of your practice. And what is happening is appear to be normal.
My problem is still again, ගරුතර ස්වාමීන් වහන්ස අතිසිල් සමාදන් සිටින අප අතින් හදිසියේ එක් සිල් පරයක් බිඳුණු බව වැටහුණොත් උදාහරණ අමතක උස්සාසනයක වාඩි වී වාඩි වූ සැනින් මතක් වී එයින් වැළකීම වාදනය වන ගීත කණ්ඩයක් සවන් යොමු ටික වේලාවක් එහි මත් වී දෙවන සතිය පිහිටුවා ඉක්මීම සවස ගිරම්පස සමග අමතක වී චිතපිකැලක් කැම වැන්දේ එවන් අවස්ථාවක සිල්පදයන් පිළිදු බව වැටහුනොත් ඕ සැකසිතුනොත් ඒ ශික්ෂාපදේ පමණක් මනසින් මුමුණමින් නැවත සමාදන් වීම සෑහේද මෙසේ නම් සම්පූර්ණ සිල්පද අටම නැවත සමාදන් විය යුතුද දුක්ඛෙන් වාසේ නමක් නොමැතිව අපට තනිව එය පිළිසකර කරගත හැකිද අපගේ මේ පර්මාවෙන් විස්තර කර දෙපා
පස්සේ තුන් පැත්තක් තියෙනවා. පළවෙනි එක තමයි ඒ විදිහට උසාසනික වාදීම චේතනාපූර්වක කෙරේ නැත්නම් මේ වාදි වෙච්ච කාණ්ඩ වැරදිලක පිළියම් කරාන මෙතන ශිල්පදේ කැඩෙන්නේ නැහැ. එහෙම නැත්නම් අර කියන විදිහට සංගීත රාවයක් ඇහෙනවා. Taman gilla එක යන්ත්‍රය ඕපන් කරලා අහනව නෙවෙයි. එහෙමනම් ශිල්පදේ කැඩෙන්නේ නැහැ. නමුත් වෙනකොටම Taman දන්නවනම් ඒකේ බලපුණා නම් ඒත් මං හිතනවා ශිල්පදේ කැඩෙලා නැහැ කියන පැත්තට බොහෝ විස හේතු කරන තියෙනවා. එහෙම නැත්නම් අර වගේ කණ්ඩ වටින් නැති දෙයක් යන පුරුද්දකට කෑවා කනකොටම තමයි තෙල් එක නතර කරා නම් ඊට පස්සේ ඒක පළවෙනි පාට ඒක නිසා තමයි බලන්න ඕනේ මොන චේතනාවෙන්ද මේ කටයුතු වෙලා තියෙන්නේ කියලා. ඒ චේතනාවෙන් තවන්න පේනවා ඒක අර බැහැියට පුරුද්ද තුනයි කියලා. තමන් පිළිබඳව මම අනුකම්පා කරගන්න එක අත්‍යවශ්‍යයි. මේ භාවනා කරනකොට තමන් මෛත්‍රී කරගැනීමදී එහෙම නැතුව තමන් පිළිබඳව සැක තමන් පිළිබඳව චෝදනා තමන් පිළිබඳව චුත්‍ය පසින්දලන්න ගියොත් කවදාකවත් මේ හිත කය දෙක සමතුලිත කරන්න බැහැ. ඒ නිසා සෑහෙන දුරට අනුකම්පා කරනවා. දෙක සිල්පදයක් කරනොත් අටම සමාදන් වෙනවා. ඒක නිසා අයි බුරුමිදී හැමදාම බණ කියනකොට සිල්පා සමාදන් කරනවා. හැම කෙනාටම. නමුත් එහෙම නැත්තම් කරන්න තියෙන ක්‍රම දෙකක් තියෙනවා. එකක් චුන්නාජ නමක් ළඟට ගිහිල්ලා කියලා සිල්පදේ දාටම සමාදන් වෙනවා. දැන් Tamanටම අදිෂ්ඨාන කරගන්න පුළුවන්. ඒ අදිෂ්ඨාන කරනකොට උඟක් වෙලාවට බලන්නේ සිල්පදේ කඩලද කැඩිලද කියලා. කඩලනම් තමයි ඒකේ ඒ නපුරු ප්‍රතිපාක ලැබෙන්නේ. කැඩිලනම් අදිෂ්ඨානයක් ගන්නවනේ ඉස්සරහට මං කැඩෙන්නේ නැති වෙන ඒ අරසා වෙන්න ඕනේ. සිල්පද නැවත සමාදම් වෙන්න. So this is something related to the eight bridges. The question is if you happen to sit on a higher seat or happen to listen to a good piece of music or eat in some kind of thing, kind of a dessert or something like that afternoon. So when it happens, the particular question is entertaining doubts. Should I renew my precepts? Or if it is so, should I renew only that precepts? So I analyze it in the three ways. First thing is, whether it will be broken if you sit on the ground, on a higher seat intentionally, otherwise accidentally if you sit and immediately if you understand it, I don't think much of a break of the precepts, because ultimately the decision is on the intention. And the second thing is listening, music, happen to listen, no problem, but if you are initiating, that you are committing. Otherwise eating something also, if it happened due to a habitual, for the first time, you can sympathize yourself, but don't make a mistake, don't make a chance to do it again and again. And if it is so, sympathize yourself, make a determination not to happen it again, and either you yourself or with the help of a spiritual figure, you can renew the precepts. And you are renewing, it must be renewed. All the eight precepts at one shot.
So, another person I can tell. අපිට හිතෙන දේවල් වලට අපිට පව සිදු වෙන්නේ නැහැ. එහෙනම් දැන් අපි හිතමු එක පවක් අපිට විතර මතක් වෙනවා. ඔක්කොම. එතකොට ඒක එකපාරක් ගින් ආයත ප්‍රභාගින් ආයෙම එහම ආවා කියලා ඒක අපිට නැවත පවක් සිදුවීමක් වෙන්නේ නැහැ සිතුවිල්ලක් පමණයි.
ඒ එවැනි දෙයක් නැවත පහ ශීපත් වෙනවායි කියලා හිත කනගාටුම පවක් සිද්ධ වෙනවා. කන එතන ඒ සැකය විචිකිච්ඡාවක් ඇති කරගත්තොත් විචිකිච්ඡා ගැනීම වන්න ඒකට පවක් සිද්ධ වෙනවා. නමුත් තමන් ඒ සිතුවිල්ල එනකොට මේ හිතුවිල්ල මම නෙවෙයි මේක මගේ නෙවෙයි මේක මගේ ආත්මය නෙවෙයි නමුත් ඒකේ තියෙන ජඩකමට ඒක එනවා කියලා හිතුවිල්ල හිතුවිල්ලක් ආවට හිතක් නැති කෙනෙක් වගේ සද්දය වුණට බීරෙක් වගේ ඒ හිතුවිල්ල ආට ඒක අගේ ආඩම්බරය කරන්නේ නැතුව අයින් කර ගන්න පුළුවන් නම් නිවර්ණයකට ඉද දෙන්න විදියක් නැහැ ද්වේෂයකට එන්න විදියක් නැහැ එතකොට ඒ හිතුවිල්ල නිකන් වඳ බහැපු එකක් වෙනවා ගබ්ස වෙච්ච එකක් වෙනවා ඇත්ති හලිච්ච එකක් වෙනවා නමුත් ඒ හිතුවිල්ල ගැන වරි කරන්න ගත්තොත් නම් අකුසල ඒ නිසා හරි අමාරුයි අපි පුරුදු කරලා තියෙන්නේ හිතවිල්ල ගැන හොරි කරන එක සදාචාරය කියලා. ඇත්තටම හිතවිල්ල ගැන හොරි කරන එක නීවරණයක්. ඒ හිතවිල්ල කරන්න පුළුවන් කෙලසිල්ල සිද්ධ වෙන්නේ Taman එකත් එක ප්‍රතික්‍රියා කරපු වෙලාවට. ප්‍රතික්‍රියා නොකර හිතවිල්ලට මේ කණෙන් ඇවිල්ලා මේ කණෙන් යනවා වගේ යන්න පුළුවන් නම් ඒ හිතවිල්ලට අපි කරදර කරන්නේ නැහැ. ඒ හිතවිල්ල අපිට කරදර කරන්නේ නැහැ. බටනාව කසින් යන උලඟක් අන්තිමට සංගීතයක් වෙලේ එලියට යනවා වගේ. හිතවිල්ලෝ ගියාමයි. කිරීම අපි ඒවා පොත් බීම කරන්නේ නැහැ. ආඩම්බර වෙන්නෙත් නෑ කනගාටු වෙන්නෙත් නෑ එහෙම නැත්නම් ප්‍රතික්‍රියා කරන්නෙත් නෑ ඉතින් එතෙන්ද යන්න අමාරුයි මොකද හේතුව අපි වෙන දෙයක්ම මල්ලේ දාගන්න පුරුදු වෙලා තියෙන්නේ හිතන දේවල් කරන දේවල් ඔක්කොම ඒ නිසා හොඳට සතියෙන් නැවත ගිහිල්ලා බලන්න පුළුවන්කට මේකම හිතුවද නැත්නම් වෙන වැඩක් කරනකොට හිතුණද හිතෙනවනම් එකකින් එන්නේ නෑ බුද්ධජනස් කියන චේතනාම් බිකවේ කම්මං මදාම. ඒතර චේතනාම් නෑ කර්මකසෙයි. නමුත් ඒකන කනගාට වෙන්නේ එකෙන් නම් කර්මකසෙට පටක් ගන්න. එතෙන් තමයි අපි අරහක යන සර්පේ කුඩුක් විදාගත්තා වගේ පශ්චාත්තාපේ නිති ඉතින්දි වහනකොට අපි කොච්චර දුක් වලට කැමැතිද? අපි දුක් කරදර වලට කොච්චර කැමැතිද කියනවා නම් ළඟින් යන එකක් හරි කවන්නේ අල්ලගෙන මල්ලේ දාගෙන කට්ටියට පෙන්න මේ බලන්න මං හරි මේ බලන්න කියලා පෙන්නයි. ඉතින් වෙන්නේ මොකද අර දුකම අර පශ්චාත්තාපයෙන්ම බෝ වෙන්න පටන් ගන්නවා. ඒ නිසා ඒව අපි කියන්නේ ගණන් නොගෙන සිටිය. ඒව අපේ වෙනකොට හිත මෙහෙවිය යුතු අරමුණක් හැම වෙලාවෙම සර්පබිංස දීලා තියනවා හිතට. හිත මෙහෙවිය යුතු අරමුණක් හිත නැත්නම් හිත අසරණයි. අර මේ යකයි කම්මල් වගේ හිත හොයාරිදිනවා කියන එක. ඒ නිසා මේ වෙලාවේදී හිතවිල්ලක් ඒ වගේ එනවනම් තමයි බලන්න ඕනේ තමන් මින්දට මානසිකාරය යොදන කර්මස්ථානය මොකද්ද? ඒක නම කියලා කතා කර කර ආනපන සති භාවනා කරනවා ආශ්වාස ප්‍රශ්වාසයෙන් මෙනෙහි කරමින් සක්මන් කරනකොට හිතවිලි එනවනම් වම දකුණ කියලා මෙනෙහි කරමින් එතන තන් එදිනදා කටයුත්තක් කරනකොට ඒ කරන කටයුත්තට මානසිකාරය යොදවලා විතක් යොදවලා මෙනෙහි කිරීම දොනකොට අර හිතවිලට එන තින ඉඩ අඩු වෙනවා නම් අනේ වගේ උපක්‍රම හොයා ගන්න ඕනේ හිතවිල්ල කාට හිතනක් කරගන්න නැති වෙන්නත් ඒ වෙනුවට උදාසීන අරමුණකට හිත මෙහෙවීම මානසික කාර්ය මෙදවීම පුරුද්දකුත් කරගත්තොත් ඒ හිතවිලි වදින එක අඩු වෙන්න පටන් ගන්නවා. හැබැයි එකක් තියෙනවා බුදු වුණත් හිතවිලි තියෙනවා. උදයන්වහන්සේ සායක තනක සඳහන් කළා තියෙනවා විවේකීව මේ කැලේකට වෙලා ඉන්නකොට ඉක්මනට කල්පනා කරනවාලු මේ රජවරු ධාර්මික වෙනවා නම් අනේ මේ අහිංසක යමක් හැම කරන මනුෂ්‍යයෙකු කොච්චර සාන්තිකර ජීවිතයක් ලැබෙයිද රජවරු අධාර්මික නිසා අර මිනිස්සු ටැක්ස් අරගෙන රජවරු කාමයට යොදවනවා යුද්ධයට යොදවනවා අර මිනිස්සු කොච්චර දුක් විඳිනවද කියලා රාජා භවතු ධර්මිකෝ කියලා කියනකොටම මාර්යා කිව්වලු වෙවිලි ඉවර වෙලා ඕක තමයි කිව්වේ ගී කී අතරින් ඉඳපෙ කියලා ඉඳලා රජකම කෙරුවා නම් ඉතින් හරිනේ දැන් වුණත් කරන්න පුළුවන් මං එන්න සපෝට් එකට කියනකොටම මතක් වුණා මස්සිනා තමයි කියලා මාර මස්සිනා තෝ පාපි මාර කියලා එතකොට මුතුජනාසි මාරය අඳුනගත්ත ගම අන්තරස්ථාන වෙලා තියෙනවා. එතෙන් දැනගන්න බුදුහාම කල්පනා කරලා තියෙනවා. කනගාට වෙලා නැහැ. ඒක සූත්‍රයක් විදිහට විශේෂණ කරලා තියෙනවා බුදු උනත් මේ හිත පාහරයි. හිත කියන්නේ හිතේ. අපේ තියෙන වැඩේ ඒක ඔය දැන ආකාර ලැබෙන තුප්පැන සාතික ලියනවා මම තාත්තා කියලා. ඔරෙත් කියලා මේ ළමයි හතර මහිනා කතා ගන්න නේද? හතර මහිනා වෙනකොට මේ දරුවා මිනිහා දරුවා නලරෝ අනේ මගේ රත්තරම් පුතේ කියලා.
ගෑණි දන්නවලු පුතා වෙන කෙනෙක් කියන්නේ. ගෑණි තිනායනවලු අනේ මේ ඕල්වන්සේ. කුක්ලි තියන්න අනේ වගේ රත්තරම් පුතේ කිකිය නරවට ඇතුලේ ඉඳි ගෑණිත් හතර hinaලින් එකක් කරනවා. ඒ වගේ මේ හිතවිලි කියනවා මේ අනුන්ගේ දරුවෝ. ඔගේ නලවගෙන නලවන්නත් එපා. කලබල වෙන්නත් එපා. මේ හිත කියන්නේ තෙත පහන් කැලක් වගේ. අවකාශයේ තියෙන ඔක්කොම මේ මොනවද පුස් උරාගෙන පුස්කන. පහන් කැල ටෝස් කරලා තිබ්බනම් අවකාශයේ විසබීජ තිබ්බට වැටෙන්නේ නැහැ. තපස කියලා කියන්නේ පහන් ටෝස් කරන්නේ. මේ හිත තෙත කරලා තියන්න. තෙත කියන්නේ කැලස්. ඒක වියලවල තියාගෙන ඉන්න. ඒකට විසබීජ දුණාට ඇවිල්ල මේකෙත් තැපත් වෙන්නේ නැහැ. පදිංචි වෙන්නේ නැහැ. පහන් කැල විසබීජ තු උපස්තරයක් වෙන්නේ. අච්චරම් ඉතින් තෙතවදීන් තිබ්බොත් අපි විස බීජ වලට බැන්නාට තෙත උනත් වෙනවා විස බීජ තියෙනවා නමුත් ඇවිල්ලා පදිංචි වෙන්නේ තෙත් උනත් විතරයි ඒ නිසා අපි මේ තපස්සක් නෙමෙයි කියලා කියන්නේ කෙලස් වීල වල දාන කෙලස් වීල වල දාලා එතකොට කෙලස් තියෙන තැනක ඉන්න පුළුවන් ආතුර වෙන්නේ මොකද ඒක විරත් චිත්තයකින් බලන්න ලෝකේ හැමදාම කෙලස් ඒකේ කවදාකවත් තැනක් නැහැ කෙලස් නැත්තනක් කියලා නමුත් අපිට කරන්න තියෙන්නේ පහන් කැලේ ටෝස් කරලා තියාගෙන හිටියොත් විසබීජ ගන්න අඩු. ඒ නිසා අපේ හිත කුතුම විදියට මේ වරි කරන්න ආසයි. අහ කියන කරදර අරගෙන අඳු කියා පාන්න ආසයි. මේක තමයි බරපතලම අකුසලයි. ඒ නිසා මේ වගේ නරක දෙයක් වුණාම නරක දෙයක් කියවුනහම නරක දෙයක් හිතන්නේ කාටවත් කියන්න එපා. කියපුවම වෙන්නේ අනෙක් හිතත් කෙලෙසෙනවා. හොඳ දෙයක් කතා කරලා කර්මාවක් ගැන කතා නම් මෛත්‍රියක් ගැන කතා නම් විචි හොඳක් ගැන කතා නම් ඒ නිසා තමන්ගේ කතාවේදී සූකාන්ත කතා කරන මිනිසයාක මරණය සූකාන්තයි. ලෝකෙ ලියවිලා තියෙන නව කතාවල් ගත්තොත් 80% විතර සූකාන්තයි. ඔය නව කතා තමයි ක්ලාසික් තමයි. සූකාන්ත මොකද මිනිස්සු හැරි කැමති මේ දුක ගැන කතා කරන්නේ. මුතු ජනස කියනවා ඒක හුනීමක්. ඒක සාපයක්. ඒ මාසෙට වෙනම සාපයක් කරන්න කවුරුත් ඕනේ නැහැ. ඕනියම් කරන්නේ මාසෙ කොච්චරක්වත් කරන්නේ අර වැරදිච්ච දේවල්, පරිදිච්ච දේවල්, කණවැන්දුම් කතා කියලා කියන්නේ. චරිචුරු කියලා කියන්නේ. නැත්තකින් කියලා වැටකලා. එහෙම කියන මිනිහත් ඕනේ නැහැ. නැත්තරදර මේ හොඳක් ගැන කතා කරන්නේ, ධර්මයක් ගැන කතා කරන්නේ, වර්තමානය ගැන කතා කරන කල්යාණ මිත්‍රෙක් ගාව මුටි කකා හිතයක් කමන්නේ. මේ සාල් මේ හිස් කතා. එහෙම නැත්නම් අපි කියන්නේ මේ සම්පත්තලාව කියන්නේම ඔය කොච්චර කාලවට්ටම් දාලා කිව්වත් යර තියෙන්නේ කුණක්. තේරුමක් නැති දෙයක්. ඒ වගේ වෙලාවට කණට උණු කුණවද උණු රත් වෙච්ච තෙල් ටිකක් වක් කරගන්නේ කොහොමද? පිච්චිලා නෑ. ඇහෙන්න එපා මේ මොනවද. මේ වගේ නරක දේවල් ගැන කතා කරද්දී පේන්න එපා මට. මේ වගේ න පශ්චාත්තාප මිසු නොදකි. ඒකයි ඔය ගැලේකට යන්නේ වෙන මොනකටද නෙමෙයි කොහොම මිනිස්සු අර දීචේ කියලා හොඳ දාර්ශනිකයෙක් හිටියා ඒ මිනිස්සයා මේ ඔය කියුවේ මේ සාන්තුෂ්ටික වාදී ගැන. මේක ගන්න දෙයක් නැහැ කියලා ලෝකේ. මේ මොන සංගීතකාරයා වෙයි. මිනිහ හැමදාම ක්ලබ් එකට යනවලු, පබ් එකට. කියලා සල්ලි ටිකක් මේසෙට තියලා. වේටර් දෙන්න කියලා මොනවද කියලා බිල යනකොට සල්ලි ටික ආයෙ සක්කුවේ දාගෙන යනවලු. ඉතින් එකම වේටර්ලු වේටර් මේ වැඩ කරන්නේ තිබු දවස් ගානක් ඉඳලා සර් ඇයි මේ සල්ලි ටිකක් තියලා ආපහු සක්කුවේ දාගන්නේ කියලා. මම මේ බලන්නේ මේ පබ් එකේ දැලා තේරුමක් ඇති කතාවක් කරන මිනිහියොත් මේ සල්ලි ටික දෙන්න වරුදු ගානක් ආවත් කවුරුත් හම්බුන්නේ නැහැ කිව්වා. ඒ නිසා මම දාක්ක දාගෙන යනවා. මේ ලෝකේ කරන කතාව සේරම උච්චාර. ඔගේ තියෙන වැරදිච්චා. ඒවයි තියෙන පරිදිච්චා. බුද්ධ ජානන්සේ කතාව හැම වෙලාවෙම උනන්දු කරන සුළු කතා. ප්‍රඥා වර්ධන කරන සුළු කතා. ශ්‍රද්ධා වර්ධන කරන සතා මිස කවදාකවත් වැරදි දෙයක් කතා කරන්නේ. මේ අවිද්‍යාව ගැන සඳහන් කරලා වැඩි විස්තර කතා කරන්නේ. ශ්‍රද්ධාව ඇති කරන දේවල් කතා කරන නිසා ශ්‍රද්ධාව නැති වෙන පැත්ත උපමාවට ගන්න විතරයි. මේ සබුද්ධ ජානසිකේ දුක්ඛ දතේ තමයි කතා කරන්නේ. අනිත්‍ය දුක්ඛ අනාත්ම තමයි කතා කරන්නේ. නම් බුද්ධ ජානසිකේ සාහිත්‍ය අපියට උනන්දු කරවන්න සලකන. ඉතින් අපිට සෙනගක් එක්ක ඉඳලා මේ වැඩි කතාවක් කරන්න. මොකද සෙනගගේ පුරුද්දම චරිචුරු තමයි. අරයට වැරදිච්ච මේ අර වැරදිච්ච පත්‍රය අරගෙන බලන්න ලෝකේ තියෙන ඔක්කොම වැරදිච්ච වැරදිච්ච එකතු කරලා ඔක්කොම දවල් උදේ කෑමට පස්සේ දෝෂ එක දෙනවා උදේ පත්‍රයේ ඊට පස්සේ නිවුස් වලින් ලෝකෙ වෙච්ච චින කාම අපරාධ සියල්ල ඔක්කොම ගෙනල්ලා ටිකක් දෙනවා. ටෙලිවිෂන් එකෙන්, රේඩියෝ එකෙන් කරන්නේම අනේ සල්ලි දීලා කරගන්න දේවල්. ඒක නැත්තම් මිනිස්සුන්ට නොකාන වෙ ඉන්න පුළුවන් පත්‍රේ බලන්න තු ඉන්න බෑ. මොකද ඒ තරම් මේ කුණු ඩෝස් එක නැතුව අපිට දුවන්න බෑ මේ මැෂින් එක. ඒ ටෙලිවිෂන් එක බැලුවේ නැත්තම් අඩු ගන්න ප්‍රවෘත්ති ටික බැලුවේ නැත්තම් බලන්නේ නෑ. දැන් මේ හිනුවට හරි අමාරු ඒකයි මේ ප්‍රවෘත්ති දන්නේ. පුළුවන් නම් ටෙලිෆෝන් කෝල් එකක් අතාර ගන්න පුළුවන් නම් ප්‍රවෘත්ති ටික. හරි ඒතර මාළුකට උමලකට දාන වගේ ඒක යන කට ගැස්ම නෑ. මේ තියෙන්නම කෙලස්. ඒ නිසා අපේ ලොකු සාහන් ලියලා තියෙනවා අසභ්‍ය ප්‍රවෘත්ති වලින් ගන්න ප්‍රවෘත්ති පත්‍ර අසලකටවත් නොගත යුතුයි. ඒකෙන් කරන දිනාට හැම දවසේ උපයගත්ත තේරම එක පාර විනාශ කරලා දාන හෝස් කලපත් වෙන්න පටන් ගන්නවා. ඒකේ තියෙන්නේ මෙහෙම පත්තු කරන දේවල් තමයි. ඉතින් ඒ නිසා පුළුවන් තරම් බලන්න හිතවිලි එනවා. ඒ ආවට සැලෙන මනස තමයි ඒ හිතවිලි වලට පදනම සකස් කරන්නේ. හිතවිලි එන එක වළක්වන්න බෑ. ඒක ඉන්නේ අපේ න්‍යායපත්‍යෙට නෙවෙයි. නමුත් මේ අහගෙන හිතවිලි වලට අඳින එක හතර වහිනාවලින් එකක්. hina wenne ek hina wenndai tiyenne. ඒ කනගාට වෙන්න දෙයක් නැහැ. මේ හිත ඒ හිතවිලි නන්නොත් දොදරක් නැත්නම් වෙන්න නම් අරමුණකට බැඳලා තියෙනවා. මධ්‍යස්ථ අරමුණට බැඳලා තියෙන. ඇයි හැම වෙලාවෙම මතක තියාගෙන ඉන්න එක අදින්නෙම කුණටම තමයි. නරක හෝ හොඳ අනු වෙන කෙනෙක් වගේ බලන්න ඕනේ. ඒ හිතවිලි මම කිරුව කියලා පශ්චාත්තාප වෙන්නත් එපා. ඒක දාර්ශනික හිතවිල්ලක් කියලා ආඩම්බර වෙන්නත් එපා. මේ හිතට මේ හිතවිල්ල ආවා. ඒක තමයි බලන්නේ පිට කෙනෙක් වගේ. එතකොට පේන්න පටන් ගන්නවා මේ හිත කියන අන්තරේ ඇතිලා තියෙන නිතරම හිතවිලි හදන්න. හිතවිලි නැත්තම් යකාය කම්මල වගේ වැඩක් නැහැ. ඉතින් ඒ නිසා ඒක තියා බලහිටම පේනවා. මෙච්චර උදේ නවස නාවල කවල පොල මගේ කියාගෙන ඉන්න හිත වැඩ කරන්නේ මගේ න්‍යායපත්‍රයකද? කැළම නැත. සම්පූර්ණ වෙන න්‍යායපත්‍රයක් තියෙන අනුගාන න්‍යායපත්‍රයක් මත කියලා හඳන්නේ. ඒක උගදනේ තේරුම් ගන්න මරණ මොහොතේදී ඉතින් ඒකට මරණයට වැඩිය මරණයක් ඒක. භාවනා කරන යෝගාවචන මැරෙන්න ඉස්සෙල්ලා මේක පෙන්නනවා. සමහරුන් මේකත් මැරෙන්න ගන්න බය හිතෙනවා. මේ හිත මේ තරම්ම තමන්ගේ සුභ සිද්ධියට වැඩ කරන්නේ අනිවාර්යයෙන්ම මේ රජයේ දුප්පත් මිනිස්සුගේ ටැක්ස් අරගෙන ඒ ටැක්ස් ඒ මිනිස්සුන්ව පාලනය කරන්න පොලිසියට දෙවලු. ඒ මිනිස්සුන්ව පාලනය කරන්න ආයුධ හදන. ඒ මිනිස්සුන්ව පාලනය කරන්න හමුදාවට යොමු කරනවා. ඒ වුණාට මිනිස්සුන්ට නීති දා. පොලිස් කාර්යයක් කොහේ ඉන්නේ ඔය අක්කෝ අපෙන් කාලා ඉන්නේ. උඹ කොහෙද හකියවත් දෙන අපිට ලාරම කරපම් මේ කරපම්. ඒක තමයි කරන මැෂිනම දැනගන්නේ උඹට ගෙවන්නේ අපි කියන්නේ. අපිට වෙන්නේ බයලා සලූට් එකක් ගන්න සමා වෙන්න කියන්නේ අපි යන්නේ නැහැ. උඹට කතා කරලා කියන්නේ ඔබ නීති ක්‍රියාත්මක කරපන්. ඒක තකමන්නේ ඔබ දැනගන්නේ ඔබට ටැක්ස් දෙවන්නේ අපි. ඔබට පඩි ගෙවන්නේ අපි. ඔබ ඕනේ නීති ක්‍රියාත්මක කරා. ඒක වෙනම දෙයක්. අපිට උඹට යට වෙන්න ඕනේ. අනේ මේ වගේ එන්නේ තමයි පව කරන්නේ නැත්තම් දැන් දන්නවනේ ඒ කාටවත් ඇඟිලි ගන්න දෙයක් නැහැ. මන් පව කරන්නේ නැතුව වැරද්දක් කරන්නේ නැතුව ගහලා මරලා හිතේ දැම්ම හිතේ කරගාට වෙන්න දෙන්නේ අපි දන්නවා මගේ හිතේ වැරද්දක් කළා නැහැ එහෙම නේ අපි වැරද්දක් කරලා පගා කියන කොච්චර බේරනත් හිත දන්නවනම් කෙරේ වැරද්දක් කියලා ඒකට වැඩිය විසහාරතාවයක් තියෙනවා ඉතින් ඒක දිහා මතක තියාගන්න මේ හිත කියන එක මේ මෝඩක් නෑ රැල්ල නැතුව නැගේ හිතක් නෑ කවදාකවත් හිත විරි නැතුව
ඒ සිතුවිල්ල සිතුවිල්ල කියලා අපි ඒ ගැන හිතලා ඊට පස්සේ සාහන් කරන්නේ සිතුවිල්ල කියලා ඒ ඔස්සේ සිතුවිලි යනකොට අපි අර එතකොට සිතෙන්ම ප්‍රාය මේ කරය විදිහට සිතම මෙහෙවන නේද අපි අරමුණින් ඇඩ් කරන්නේ භාවනා අරමුණ
ඔව් මොකද්ද ඒකට නගන ප්‍රශ්නේ
නගන ප්‍රශ්නේ දැන් ඒ එහෙම සිතුවිල්ලක් ආවොත්
විතකෙන්නේ ඒ කියන්නේ අපි සක්මන් භාවනා කරනකොට හිතවිල්ලක් එනවා. ඒ හිතවිල්ල අරමුණට යන්න දෙන්නේ නැතුව හිතවිලි රසෙ දිගේ ගෙනියනවා. ඉතින් අපි අහුවෙලා තියෙන අපේ අරමුණ කලාපාලු වෙලා හිතවිල්ල යනවා. එහෙමනම් කියනවා සක්මන් නතර කරලා හිටගන්නේ කියලා. සක්මන් කර කර හිතවිල්ල දෙන්න ගියොත් හිතවිල්ල ආබ ලැබෙනවා. තමන්න වෙනවා බේරන්න බැරි හිතවිල්ල ආශයක් එනවා සක්මනේ හිටගෙන මෙනේ කරන්න කියනවා හිතනවා. එතකොට අපි දන්නවා අර සක්මන් කරමින් හිතට නිසි නිින්ද යන්න දෙන්නේ නැහැ. වැඩ නතර කරනවා. නතර කළා කියනවා හිතනවා. ඒක ඉවර වෙනකන් ආයෙ සක්මන් කරන්න. ඒක ඉවර වුණාට පස්සේ හිත කීකරු වුණොත් තමයි සක්මන් දෙන්නේ. අනේ වගේ හිතවිලි අධික බහුල වෙන වෙලාවල් එනවා. ඊට පස්සේ ඒ හිතවිල්ලම අරමුණට යන්න දෙන තු හිතවිල් රසයක් ඇති කරනවා. ඒ නිසා ඒක දිගේ යනවා. මොකද සමහරවිට යෝගාචර දැනගන්න පුළුවන් නෝ පාණයක් නැත්නම් தත්ත්ව පාණ කරගන්න බැන්න. ඒක තමයි හිතවෙන්නේ. හිතේ හිතන කමිනේ. ඒකට පරණ අටුව කතාවක් කියනවා ඒ සංඝවචනමක් පිටිසකින් සංඝවචනමක් ඉන්නවා. ඒත් පින්දපාති ගියාට පස්සේ ගමේ දකින්න දේවල් නිසා රාගෙ මතුවෙනවා. ඒ නිසා නොගිහින් බෑ. පින්දපාතේ යන්න ඕනේ. නමුත් ගියාට පස්සේ දකින්න රාගෙ නිසා යහදී පෙලෙන්න පටන් ගන්නවා. ඊට පස්සේ ආ දැන් මොන සිහිපත් ගන්නද? පාත්‍ර බඩතොලේ සංවාගෙන යනකොට තීරණ පටන් ගන්නවා ආසවල් ගෙදර ආසවල් දර්ශන. ආසවල් එකේ තියෙන මේවා දකින්නකොට මම ආපහුපත් කාලා ආවට මොකද දවස් 30ේම රාගය කියලා බඩතුලේ පාත්‍ර දිහානේ වාඩි වෙලා බිම ඉඳ ගන්න. වැඩක් නැහැ මේ බත් කාලේ වැඩක් නැහැ මොකද ඒකෙන් ඇති වෙන්නේම රාගය කියලා. ඒක පිටිපස්සෙන් එන සංඝයා වහන්සේ දැනගන්නවා මේ ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේට තතබල විතක්යක් ඇවිල්ලා තියෙන්නේ. ඒ නිසා මේ ආත්මනුකම්පාවක් ඇතිලා වාඩි වෙන්න කියලා සඳහන් කළා කියනවා. ආයෂ්මතුනි මේ ජීවිතේ ජීවත් කරනවා කියන එක ආහාර ගවේෂණය කියලා කියන විශාල දුකක්. ඒ දුකද ගියාම පිස්සුවලියෝ පිස්සුවල්ලෝ කාම දර්ශන ගොඩාක් මතුවෙනවා. ඉතින් ඒ නිසා ඒකදී යටත් වෙන එක නෙමෙයි කරන්න තියෙන්නේ. අපි ඒක හිත තනා වඩාගෙන බත් නැතුව බෑනේ. ඒ නිසා අපි සක්මන් ටියන් කියලා රහතුන්ට ධෛර්යය දෙනවා. ධෛර්ය තුනට පස්සේ යම්දෝ පින්නපත් කරගෙන යනවා. යන්නේ ඇතුළට නමාගත්ත හිතේ. අන්නේ ඉඳගන්න ඉඳගැනිල්ලෙන් ඒකයි දර්ශනේ හිතන. ඉඳගන්න ඉඳගැනින්න කරන්නේ මේක බත් කාලා වැඩන්නේ. මේ ගිහිල්ලා එන ගමනේ මම ගේනේ රාගය. කියලා වාඩි වෙනවා වගේ තමයි සක්මීදී අධික රාගයක් ද්වේෂයක් කාණ ගමන් නැත කරන්නේ. ඊට පස්සේ ඒක නතර වුණාට පස්සේ තමයි අපි මේ කටයුත්ත කරන්නේ කියලා. So now okay and we are changing the signal. So I will give a briefing about his question is about casual thinking, inner thoughts, background thoughts. So he says that it is often disturbing him. Does that carry any kind of a weight towards the karma and karma results? Does it create any kind of a bad precipitations? So according to the Buddha, the karma, anything will become a karma if the intention is there. If it is no intention, there is no karma. So therefore, if it is happening, be aware of it, but don't worry it. The worrying is a karma. So be aware, and if it is possible, keep the alertness towards the thoughts, but don't worry. The worrying is the kind of a nivarana or hindrance. And if you are entertaining that, not due to the thinking, but due to the worrying, your stream of consciousness will be disturbed. So therefore, main thing is not to worry. And thoughts, it is natural thing, just like a waves in the sea, always happening. So if you wish to keep the mind away from the thought, occupy the mind with a neutral object and keep on noting. By keeping or keep on noting, you cut off the influx of the thoughts. And it is a kind of a mechanical method, but sometimes it is successful. The other thing is that don't claim these thoughts as me or mine or myself. You just consider it as something happening. Meanwhile, you are doing your walking meditation or sitting meditation. The day your mindfulness becomes very strong, you can see different layers. The main object is there still. You can see background thoughts. You can see they are called inner thoughts. Soon you are going to entertain them. The object disappear. Object become inferior and thought become trained thoughts and chain thoughts and content going to happen. So therefore, it's a matter of perspective. So you must understand both. And don't let the thoughts take the upper hand and going to take the control about your stream of consciousness. And therefore, you must understand, you must experience circumstances where your mind is well face-to-face with the object. For example, in-breath and out-breath or walking in-breath. But still in the background, you can feel thoughts.
Understanding these background thoughts is very crucial in the Vipassana meditation. Once you understand, you will see, if you are going to give a consent to them, they become priority. If you don't give any consent and disclaim them, disavow them, as to this is not me, this is not mine, and this is not myself, you will understand more than 95% of your thoughts are without a thinker, without an intention. But if you're going to worry about them, you have enough reason to worry. But instead, keep the mind occupied with the neutral object, not it. And meanwhile, let the casual thoughts to come. But don't, main thing is not to worry. Be aware of it. And there's one book known as Thought Without a Thinker. And that explain it and how much unknown people are worrying about these casual thoughts. So they are, according to the Burmese shadow, they are so-called background thoughts, inner thoughts, or thought without a thinker. So these things you must be separate with the intentional thinking. The moment you understand these two, of course it is a very, very challenging task, you will see most of our worries are imaginary. They are not based upon facts. So therefore, once you understand it, you will know the art of not to worry. How to not to worry. And unless otherwise, very difficult to maintain the stream of consciousness fairly in the pure form, because there are enough reasons for you to worry, but one majority of the thoughts, majority of the events are the mind made. And the second part is that he's asking, sometimes while you are meditating, very prolific magnetic thoughts are arising and they are pulling you out and won't allow the mind to come back to the primary object and keep on proliferating there. So it's one phenomena he observed, and question is how to tackle that kind of question. Traditionally it says when you are in the walking meditation, if such thoughts are going to happen, you better stop walking and not thinking. So that means give the full attention to the thought, or even though it is not the main thing, main purpose of walking, and then observe how much it is magnetizing, how much it is distracting. Once it is come under control, only you consider back to go and do stepping and keeping the attention with the left and the right foot. So that is the way you have to understand it is magnanimity, also the magnetic nature of the thoughts, and separate it from your primary object.
So, answer, sir. So, the
ඇත්තම තණ්හා මාන දිට්ඨි කියන තුනම තියෙනවා. තිත්තියම විතරක් නෙවෙයි මාන්න නිසා සිද්ධ වෙනවා. අල්ලපු gedara තරහකාරයෙකු කුඩු ළමයා කුඩු කරනවනේ සතුටු. උන්ට වැඩේ කියලා වෙච්චාමයි. තමන්ගේ යාළුවාගේ දරුවා කුඩු කරනකොට කනගාටුනවා මාන්න නිසා. ඊගාට තණ්හාව නිසා සිද්ධ වෙනවා මේ වස්තු විනාශය වෙනවා දරුවා නැති වෙනවා. මේ වගේ දේවල් ඒ නිසා ප්‍රධාන කර්ම මේ proliferation, salt, mental proliferation, මේ තණ්හා මාන දිට්ඨි තමයි වැඩ කරන්නේ. ඉතින් ඒ තුනම වංචනිකයි. ඒ තුනම වංචනිකයි. කවදාකවත් කවුරක් හිතෙන්නේ නැහැ මේ තණ්හා මාන දිට්ඨි තේරෙන්නේ Taman වෙනුවෙන් උසාවියේ නඩුවට කතා කරන ගොඩ පෙරක දూరుවා. ඒක ඒගොල්ලෝ කතා කරන්නේ මාර්ගේ පැත්තට. අපිට වෙන්නේ අපේ පැත්තට කතා කරනවා. ඒ නිසා තණ්හා මාන දිට්ඨි වරදගත්තාම කියනවා හොරෙක් තමගේ දරුවයි කියලා වරදවාගත්ත මිනිසෙකුට සිදුවෙන හානිය සිද්ධ වෙනවා. මහා වාචා අපියම් කුඩුකාරයෙක් කැවිලි වල ගෙතරින් ගන්නවා. ඊට යන අනේ දරුවෝ නැති කෙනෙක් හිතා ගන්නවා අනේ මට දරුවෙක් හම්බුනා ඊට බක්කොතා මේක කියලා අපි ඌට කණ්ඩ දුන්නාම. අන්තිමට මොකද කරන්නේ? මේ මිනිස්යා ගෙදර දින ඔක්කොම රකක් කරන යනවාසේ. අපි මෙතෙක් කල මේ කණ්ණාමාන දිට්ඨි කියන තුන දරුවෝ වශයෙන් අපිට උදව් කරන ගොඩ පෙරක දూరుවගෙන් සැලකුවාට ඒක තණ්ණි කර උදේ ඉඳලා හැන්දානකන් සේවය කරන්න කෙලෙස. මාරයට. ඒ නිසා අපිට ඒ හානිය උනාට කමන්නේ ආනිය නෙමෙයි බලන්න මේ තණ්හාව මෙතන යටි යටි නූලින් වැඩ කරන්නේ නැහැ. මාන්නේ යටි නූලින් වැඩ කරන්නේ හේන්දුවෙන් දිත්‍ය. වැඩ කරපු දවසේ ආයේ එක මේ නැදකින් කියන දෙයක් නැහැ.
තේරෙන කොට ගන්නවා මයිලක තියෙන තකති රූපමක මහත. අපි මේවා ගත්තේ මෙතෙක් කල මට කතා කරන්න පෙරක දොරියක් වගේ. මිත්‍රෙක් වගේ බලන මිත්‍ර ප්‍රතිරූපකෙ. ඉතින් ඒක තව කෙනෙකුට කිව්වොත් මෙයාට පෙන්න නෑ උඹලම වැඩ කරන තණ්හාව කියලා එයාගේ පර්සනැලිටි එකට විදේ. ඉතින් අපිට කෙනෙක් පෙන්නුවත් එහෙම වැඩ කරන තණ්හාව කියලා අපි කැමති නෑ. ඉතින් බුදුරජාණන් කන්නාඩිය කතාව දීලා කියනවා ඕකෙන් බලවන් ඔන්න පේන උඹට. උඹම බලාගනි. මම පෙන්නන්න යන්නේ මම වෙන්නන්නේ ජේසුස් වහන්සේට වගේ කුරුසෙල් තියලා නැගනවා. ජෝර්ජ් සිස්ටන්ට වගේ වෙඩිති. ඒ කියන්නේ ගියේ ගත්තේ තමයි කියලා ගත්තේ. බුදුහාමුදුරුවෝ කරගෙන කන්නාඩිය කතාව දීලා කිව්වා ඕම් බලාගන්. ඔය පේන්නේ කාගවත්ද උඹේම තණ්හාවම උඹේම දිටින උඹේම මානමයි කන්නාඩිය තමයි සත්‍ය කියන්නේ. කල්‍යාණ මිත්‍රයෙක්ට අපි කියනවා කන්නාඩිය කියලා. සාස්ෘණ වහන්සේට අපි කියනවා කන්නාඩිය කියලා. ඉතින් ගියාට පස්සේ තමගේ කෙලස් ටික පේනවා. ඉතින් මේකට ඔබ දැනෙන්නේ කැමති නැහැ. මම නම් හිතනවා ඒක සාධාරණයි කියලා. තමන් හොඳයි කියන ඉන්නුමිනිය භාවනා කරන්න කැමති නැහැ. මම හරි මම සුද්ධවන්ත මම පින්වන්තයි කියන නිසා ඒ මම කියන්නේ නන්දමාලිගේ සින්දුව කියනවා මට අරින්න මට දකින්න මගේ හිණේ. මම කියනවා හොඳ ඔය හිණි බලන්න ඉන්න අපිට කිසි ප්‍රශ්නයක් නැහැ. සන්තෝෂ වෙන්න. ප්‍රශ්න තියෙන්නේ මෙතන මේ තමන්ගේ තියෙන ජඩකම. තමන්ගේ තියෙන මාන්නේ තමන්ගේ තියෙන තෘෂ්ණාව දැක ගන්න කැමති කෙනාට ඒකට උදව් කරන එක විතරයි. ඒ නිසා කඩදාපස් මේක ජන විඥානේ හැම දිනකටම අල්ලලා දෙයක් වෙන්න බෑ. මොකද ඔක්කොටම ඕනේ මේ දවල් මිගෙන් රැ දනිය සෙල්ලම්. කරන්න තියෙන ජඩකම් කරන්න ඕනේ ලෝකෙට බෙන හිටින්න ඕනේ බොහොම සාන්තෝරයක් වාගේ. ඒ මේ රැවටිල්ලත් එක්ක විපස්සනා කරන්න. අපි කල්යාණ මිත්‍ර ආශ්‍රය තියෙන්නේ අපි අවුනොත් එන්නලා දෙන්න පුළුවන්කම තියෙනවා අපේ මිත්‍රයෙකුට. අදිසිය නෙමෙයි. බොය කරන වැඩි උඹට පේන්නේ නෑ. මට පේනවා. මෙන්න මේ වගේ ඉන්ටෙන්ෂන් එකක් තියෙනවා. ඒකට යාර පුරුංගකම තියෙන මෙවස පෙන්වන්නට යහතන් මට අනින්න දෙවෙනි කෙනෙක් තේරු ගන්න. එහෙමනම් අපි කල්යාණ මිත්‍රයෝ. ඒක නැත්තම් වෙන්නේ මොකද්ද? අපි නඩුවක් හදා ගන්නවා. හෙට උලක් හදා ගන්නවා. ඒ නිසා අපිට එන හැම වරි එකක්ම හැම ටෙන්ෂන් එකක්ම එන්නේ ඔය මුල් තුනේ. තණ්හාමාන දිටි කියන මුල් තුනේ. ඒවත් අපිට වෙලාවක් නැහැ. ඒව ඇනලයිස් කර කර ඉන්න. මොකද අපි තණ්හා දාසයි. වැඩීම තණ්හාවට ආහාර සපයන එක. මාන්නයට දාසකම් කරනවා. උදේට හැන්ද වෙනකම් මාන්නේ වලින් ආහාර වෙනවා. දික්කිර දාසකම් කරනවා. ඒ නිසා අපිට මේ තණ්හා මාන දික්කිනින් ඇති කරන හානිය දැක ගන්න වෙලාවක් නැහැ. ඒක අන්නාඩියේ නෑ අපිට. අපිට මේන එක නාස්තිකයි වාගේ. ඒ කියන්නේ මේ මාසක්කය දිත්තේ මේ නැත්තම් මේ මම වෙමි. එතන මට හානි කරන පිට බාහිර කෙනෙක් ඉන්නවා කියලා තව කෙනෙකුට දාන එක ඒ ඔක්කොම සිද්ධ වෙන්නේ ආත්ම දෘෂ්ටි අවිද්‍යාව හරහා. ඒ බුදුහාමුදුරුවෝ කියනවා ඒක දකින්න විතර ජොලියක් මුළු මනුස්ස ජීවිතේම නැහැ කියලා. තමන්ගේ මාන්නේ, තමන්ගේ තණ්හාව, තමන්ගේ දික්තිය තමන්ම දකින්නකොට ඒක මේ හරි අපුලක් තමයි. ඒක හරියට කියනවනම් මේ බඩරක් කියලා වමන යන වෙලාවට. වමන ගියම ඔක්කොම ඉවරයිනේ. ඔක්කාරේ ඔක්කාර ගියේ නැත්නම් ඉතින් මේක තත් කරගෙන බස් එකේ එහෙම ඉන්නකොට ඒක දාගන්න විදියකුත් නැහැ. එහෙම ඉන්න ගියාම ඒක මල අවුලක් නෑ වෙන්නේ. ඒ වෙලාවට ඔක්කාර දාන්න හම්බෙච්චා නම් දකින්න හොඳ දෙයක් නෙමෙයි. නමුත් ඒක ගියාට පස්සේ එන සාන්තිය. අපිට ගණන් ගන්නකොට සර් කිව්වේ නෑ උඹ ඒ කතෝලික මිනිස්සේ. උඹලට ඔය දෙයයන් මොකද්ද ජීවනක් කියලා කියනවා මට නම් තේරෙන්නේ නෑ. මම කතෝලිකක් නෙමෙයි. මම දකින්නේ නිවන් දෙකයි ලෝකේ තියෙන්නේ. හොඳටම අක්කබර වෙච්චනම් අක්ක කරන තැනක් හම්බුනොත් අන්න එතෙන්දී හම් වෙන සාන්තිය නම් මට වලක්වන්න බෑ හොඳටම දෙන්නේ. හොඳටම චූබරක් අහම චූ කරන තැනක් හම් වෙනවනම් ওই දෙක නම් මට හොඳටම සුදු ඕක නම් නිවෙන. ඇඟිදීන කුණායින් කරන්න හම් වෙච්චා. මට මතකයි මං ඉන්දියාවේ ගිහලා ෆලුඩ එකක් බීලා එක විනාඩි 5යි සූ ගාල යන්න පටන් ගත්තා. ඒ වෙලාවට වැඩි කීයක් ස්වර්ගයටත් එහා ඇත් ඇඟවත් හිතේ හැටි යන්න පුළුවන් නැත්නම් වීදිය මැද මොන කරන්නේ. ඊගොම ඒ කෙලස් ටික දැක්කට පස්සේ කෙලස් ටික අතහැරෙන වෙලාවේ ජනාවත් තමයි විත වෙන්නේ. පුදුමාකාර සංකයක් තියෙනවා. ඒ නිසා මේ අපි මේ උදේ ඉඳලා හැන්දෑ වෙනකම් මේ තණ්හා මාන දිටි වඩන්න වැඩ කරන ගමන් ඊගොල්ලේ තියෙන නපුර ඒකෙන් අපිට පෙනී නොපෙනී කරන වංචනිකව සහ ඍජුව කරන හානිය දිහා දැක්කට පස්සේ ඒක සම්පූර්ණ හිතන මුළු ලෝකෙම නාටකමක් වගේ හීනයක් වගේ බිරිඳුවක් වගේ කොහොමද මිනිස්සය කවදද මිනිස්සය මේක තේරුම් ගන්න තේරුම් ගත්තොත් කොහොම හිතේද මේ මිනිස්සයාගේ මේ ලෝකෙට දක්වන ආකල්පය ආර්ථිකයට දක්වන ආකල්පය දේශපාලන ආකල්ප කොහොම හිතේද කියලා හිතා ගන්න බෑ. එතකොට පුරුෂ ධම්ම සාර්ථක ගුණේ එනවා. ඒ මනසේ ධම්මනි වෙනවා. ඊට පස්සේ බුදු ආලෝකයෙන් දහන බලන්න. එතකන් මේ අර පුතික්කල අඳුනගෙන තියෙන හොරෙක් තමයි. ඒදී දකින්නකොට ඒදී දැක්කම මාසෙ ඉතින් හැබෑ වෙනසක් වෙන්න බලන්න. නේද
And the other one is for the nuns that we need the summary of the last month of experience. Can I ask my question first or later?
As you like.
My question is this, sorry, answer. Only this is in the name of
So it is unfair, you can ask in English, yeah. So that they also can understand.
But the when I sit down to the gate, at the moment, I can sit there in 2 to 3 minutes. I get my breath disappearing, and I'm quite confident that even if it is disappeared, I can go on with breath. I can wait for it, and feel it all the way through. Sometimes, time to time, I feel the breath, the warmth, and I feel sometimes it's just coming back and forth again. And after a while, I get to the point, as I have already told you sometimes back, to a place that I don't recognize anything. I just stopped there. Quite a while ago, I thought that I'm falling asleep, sort of anesthetized or something like that. But it's not there now. I'm quite aware that I'm there, but I just can't interpret it. So it's nothing that I see in the world. It's just everything is empty. Some sort of thing. Sometimes I go there like that, and sometimes I go there. When I sit, I first see sort of, you know, white flowers appearing and the sort of golden colors appearing, and I feel I'm lifted up and I'm floating in air, and then I still get to the same place where I just don't understand anything, just I can't interpret anything in terms of what I know. And I stay there happily. Now I don't feel like anesthetized as such. I understand that I'm living there, but it's actually I'm happy there. So I don't know what I do next. That's my question.
So I will try to cooperate your question and the yesterday's talk is almost relating to the have interrelationship. So yesterday we were furthering the first discussion, that is how the feelings, how the contact leading to feeling, asapaccha vedana, and first day we dealt some sort of up to a certain extent, and yesterday what I basically tried to convince or try to discuss was with respect to the two particular suttas. Whenever the contact happens, unknown, uninstructed, unprepared person, this will be taken away by his own likings and dislikes and his personality traits, and therefore he has no control. Whenever the contact happens, it is taken away, and wandering mind can happen, daydreaming can happen, fantasizing can happen, and accordingly, more than the feeling arises, more than on the particular object he or she touch. Feeling happens according to the proliferation of thinking. So therefore, triggering or cursing, as a cursor, a contact happens. The person who do not know, he is not unprepared, get this contact, and upon that he start proliferating. And upon that proliferation, number of different kind of feelings happen. And ultimately, he attributes this, all the feeling to this particular contact, but it is not so. It is happening due to his own, his or her proliferation. Therefore, Mahalukya Buddha Sutta, it is appearing in the Samyutta Nikaya, Kanda Samyutta. And the Buddha says, when the thought happens, it's a thought. Don't proliferate. When seeing happen, what is that is happening is just stop at that level. But the person who see, a seer, going to proliferate upon that,
That then only the accumulation of defilements and all the malevolent thing happen. So therefore stop seeing and seeing, just mere seeing, and stop at hearing as hearing, and stop at other tactile sensation, last meeting, tasting and touching, and thinking also stop at that level. So once that given, Venerable Mahalukya Buddha is reinterpreting the same thing to the Buddha, Vanti, if I got your message correctly, this is what I say. A person looking at a figure, a visual object, and not mindful. So when the unmindful person see a thing, and he consider, what nice thing I have seen, likewise he going to attribute different values to what he see, either negative or positive. And accordingly he entertain it, his feeling arises more and more according to his own proliferation, and ultimately he will be dragged away, and so much of desire or hatred going to come. Just keep on doing, and therefore such a person never understand what is happening, and instead keep on taken away by the force of proliferation, and ultimately going away from the truth. But instead the person who is looking at, or if kind of a visual object impinge upon the person who is mindful, and still he see, but he go with the prepared mind, therefore he never entertain. Saratta Chitta is the kind of an entertaining mind. Viratta Chitta means he knows my job is to walk. I am on the walking meditation. And I see a bird, a flower, but he immediately comes to know it's an obstacle and it's a weakness. So therefore, even though he see the figure, even though he get the basic feeling, he never in proliferating, never in entertaining it, he consider it as a burden. So such a person, even he is entertaining the feeling, even if he is verily with his touch, he is not defiled. He can come back to the primary object and maintain his primary object, and he moves towards the trinity. So therefore, prepared mind is your security, it is your savior. Unprepared mind is the person always at danger. And second part of my yesterday thing was based upon the Mandupindika Sutta. In the Mandupindika Sutta, Buddha is giving two episodes, encounter with one Brahmana fellow, and second thing is reporting that to the monks, and Buddha is going to give his non-reactional attitude, but the monks don't understand. Monks can't understand what the Buddha is explaining. Buddha is merely explaining things can happen, but don't react. A reaction is the defilement. And ultimately all the monks are going to Venerable Mahakachayana. He is the best interpreter for the moment, and pleading, please, Mante, explain. Buddha told something we can't understand. But ultimately he gave the mechanism, how the mind is working whenever seeing happen, whenever hearing happen, and there are a lot of places where you can gain the control. If you are unmindful, unprepared, it will take you for a ride. Instead, if you can aware, even at latter stage or in one thought moment before, you can apply a brake or clutch. So therefore, you must understand theoretically how it is happening. He says, chakkuncha paticca rupe chuppajjati chakku vijnana, whenever the carnal eye in view with or avenue to a visual object, and if the consciousness come and second it, then he become a seer. And the contact means the visual object, the sensitivity of the eye, and the eye consciousness. When these three comes, and if they are continuing to happen in thought moments, the feeling arises. Whenever feeling arises, the next immediate event is cognition or recognition or reification. This is a good one, this is a bad one, this I know, this I don't know, this is auspicious, this is non-auspicious light. It put into your past memory and you evaluate it, reify it, as whether it is a danger for your life or it is a kind of a gain. It is called perception. And once a perception happens, you start to think about that. This I must proliferate. This I must get rid of. This is a good dormant. This is a bad dormant. Like, mind is going to work upon that. And whenever this initial, not the initial, the thinking mind happens, rather than the object, the mind start another momentum proliferating upon the thinking, and ultimately you will be overwhelmed by this mental proliferation and you will end up with desire, conceit, or your egoist ego run, and ultimately you are accumulating so much of defilements on the visual objects. Sometimes you are projecting your mind to the past, sometimes you are projecting to the future, or sometimes in the present moment other places, other people. So this is how it happens. So by explaining it, it says, soon you come to know, now your my consciousness is in I, as a one point that you can be aware, I am a seer. And next moment consciousness will go and help ear consciousness, there you become a listener. Next time you go and be a consciousness, go and help the touching sensation, then you will be a touching person. Likewise, you are changing your character by the consciousness. So therefore, each and every moment, soon you come to know you are seeing, not it as seeing, seeing, seeing. And if you are listening, not it as listening, 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 so that you can tackle where the consciousness is. And that is very demanding job. So, very difficult for you to do in day-to-day activities unless otherwise you are master in mindfulness. But in sitting, when you are meditating, we'll say for example, in-breath and out-breath, a sound can happen. Still, you wish to be with the breath, but the sound is becoming more prominent. Under such circumstances, you can just forget about the distinct primary object, and instead you can go and know hearing, hearing, hearing. Or visual object you can consider as seeing, seeing, seeing. Or other pains in the body, pain. Likewise, you can just tackle where the consciousness is running. It appears like no concentration, but I am assuring it's a very good, efficient mindfulness, and there you can understand consciousness have no agenda. Whatever you have your own agenda, it is not listening. So it's the first and foremost thing you will understand, consciousness is running by its own will. And it is never leading to Nibbana, never leading to the reality. It is leading to the samsari, death and birth and death. So therefore, first and foremost is practically tackling how swiftly consciousness is running. The Buddha says, even you can't give an example or epithet, how swiftly it is changing. Or otherwise, due to this movement of the consciousness, you start to feel good and the bad. And that also you cannot. Now I feel good, or manapang, amanapang, desirable, undesirable. That also one thing you can keep on observing, and then upon that desirability and undesirability, mental proliferation start. Then you are off the ground. You are never touching the tithi. You are now in the completely on mind-made world. And there also you can understand how much the mind is gathering the momentum and lifting you above from the direct touch under the nose experience. All these three points you can apply the mindfulness. And as a beginner, you will only tackle once it is become defiled, once it become uncontrollable level. But even then, if you can tackle it, tackle at the tail end, it is good, because more and more you practicing, you can develop the skill not to let that much of defiling to take place. Before becoming up to that much, you can apply the brakes. You can apply the mindfulness, and that is how you bring back the negligence, converting into the diligence, and tackle it as soon as possible, according to the example, not letting that tree to grow and chop it by the axe. You can nip it at the bud level. So that, for that also, you must understand how the mind, it is called cognitive series works. First you learn theory and then apply it with the deductive knowledge, and third time when you are doing it with the mindfulness, slowly slowly you can understand. That is how you can see whenever the touching happen, feeling going to happen. Whenever the touching is the touch is ceases to exist, the feelings going to, you see, a feeling going to ceases to exist. That is what she wanted to relate when she is confined her meditation to the breath, touch of the breath. Touch of the breath confirm you, the other touching sensations are cut off. You can't make a declaration that I am, my mind is face to face to the breath, if it is distracted otherwise. So therefore, first and foremost, you align your mind, stream of consciousness with the breath. That indicates you are getting the touch only with the breath. And when that breath is associating, familiarizing, that touch also slowly, slowly becomes subtle, ultimately subtlest. And there you go to a sphere, no feelings. You can't feel the self. You can't at least feel in and out. You can't at least feel the time. You can't at least feel the space. And sometimes mind misunderstand it as a sleepiness or slumber or sloth and torpor. And that is what happened at the early knowledge days. She can be aware, awakening into this space. And more you go there, you are in a frictionless area, boundless area, but you can't put into words. And that indicates you can start with one particular kind of a touch, observe it again and again, more familiarity with that particular touch, ultimately leading to the subtlety and ultimately leading to the unperceivable subtle state where no feelings happen. So that indicates this link between the touch and the feeling, you can monitor, you can take it under control, and that is a very good achievement regarding the cause and effect relationship. Because if you are not training under such circumstances, each and every feeling is going to give a, each and every touch going to give a feeling. But in the meditation, you can prove certain kind of touches you can master and reduce to nothing, and ultimately feelings also reduce to nothing. And if this is happening, the answer or the encouragement is, please try to experience it in walking meditation also. In walking also, you can get that solitude. Once you season into the walking, after 40-45 minutes, everything happening, autopiloting, and you can observe it, still entertain the solitude, still entertain the freedom, while observing everything, and without getting involved into that. And ultimately, same thing you can apply into the day-to-day activities also. Likewise, once you understand this so-called feeling-less state in sitting, you have to develop into the walking meditation and the day-to-day activities. Ultimately, you can see whatever the stimuli and the impingements are there, by mastering, you can take them under control. So therefore, you will not make complaints with the external world, telling they are disturbing me and worrying me. Instead, you will understand disturbance and worry are only due to your untrained mind, unmindful mind, negligent mind, unawareness. So therefore, once awareness, diligence and the mindfulness happens, the situation slowly, slowly coming under control. You can cut off this vicious cycle. Many links are there, but for the moment we are talking about the relationship between the contact and the feelings. So that is what the answer for both the question. One first thing, the question, second thing is the translation. So I doubt whether I have done a perfect job, but I try to give the gist of the meaning.
My other question now is actually...
Well, you asked to ask another case because you asked only for two, now it's finished. Anyway, you can apply another case.
The next question is actually when I experience that sort of thing sometimes I try to bring it to my day-to-day life. I experience it living with other people at work and all that, and I say that when things try to sit and disturb me, but I say this is not the real, the reality is actually where I was in meditation. So I don't want to bother about these things, but it doesn't work that way. So there is a conflict actually. So what I experience in meditation, and that freedom and that joy. So I see the life freedom induces living in the normal life. So there is a conflict in my mind now. Do I want to work? Do I want to see it?
So when I was meditating and I am doing my full-time job, I also had the same friction, but I never complained because I never show any person that I am meditating. I was a full-fledged sentient being, I am fighting and all the kind of thing, but I am observing myself as a joker. Some people come and having argument, I am arguing vehemently. And then I know internally I am doing something for the sake of experimenting. So therefore I am laughing at myself. I never laugh at the other person. I think they are sentient people, they can react. And I am also reacting, but I always excusing me, sympathizing me, but I never claim myself as a meditator. So therefore, whatever the difficulty happened, I put myself, just jump into the deep water and see how it performs. I never find a fault with the outside. And the outside world is perfect. Only I can't fit. And I am not taking as a Buddhist step also. I try to be a human, try to understand, try to be mindful. And I am doing enormous mistakes. No problem. I am sympathizing it and using them for the next event, not to do that much of mistakes. That is how you learn it. Therefore, unless otherwise you apply it to the day-to-day life, your meditation is useless. That is why my measurement is, so you can develop in the meditation called atmosphere, but you must have the ability to put it to the day-to-day life in your own small way. More and more you apply, you develop ways and means to do least amount of mistakes. Don't try to be smart. First thing is to not to commit mistakes. First, do no harm. So, and even if you are doing any harm, sympathize yourself. If the other one is hurt, go and apologize. Tell, I'm sorry, at that time I lost my temper. So if I hurt you, please forgive me. And when you are going on, it's action-packed life. So you have to read, there's a one book on a school catastrophic life by John Kabat-Zinn. It's a master of mindfulness, full catastrophic living. Life must be full of catastrophe. And you must understand they are happening according to cause and effect. You take a distance view and observe, you also part and partial of the same game. And you can see how you are going to commit mistakes, how you be smart in that, and you are non-judgmental. Observe it. So you have nothing to pay for teledramas. You can see your whole teledrama. All morning to evening, it's a teledrama. So that is how I live 6 years in a full dynamic Norwegian company. Ultimately, I became the chief executive. I joined this as a junior production manager and throughout so much of promotions, so much of appreciation, so much of fringe benefits. But only thing I have to maximize is the mindfulness. And everyone admiring, how can I tackle it? Because at that time my English was horrible.
And wherever I go, I make problems for the people, fighting. Ultimately, they got shaped up. Slowly, slowly, of course, there's a lot of true friends were there for me to go and discuss. And I opened, tell them, this is what happened. And most of them told, I am skillful in jobs, but I am not tactful in handling people. But I think now I am tactful also. Otherwise, I can't work with them. Very difficult characters. So, this is the way. Put them into the practice. Whenever something, friction happens, you have to understand, yeah, you have something to learn. If there is no friction, it's useless. That event is useless. When there is a friction, when there is a difficulty, to understand, this is the lesson. You have to understand, that is the teacher. Put into the action, action replay slow motion. Go back to it with your mindfulness and see what happened really. I had a, for example, I had a conflict with her. So now I am regretting. So I go back and see, go back to that event with your memory and see what happened. Action replay and put it in the slow motion. You know, in cricket, when a mistake happens, they say they kick the clip and put into the action replay slow motion. And no, that is necessary. Everyone can see. But the emotional mind, any judgment, no judge can do a good judgment. So you must put it back and see yourself how it performs. But don't try to assume or don't try to think that you are perfect. To understand, I'm an utter idiot, utter fool. And with that understanding, if you see, no other person also not different than that. They are also fools, they are also idiots. Why not? So that we can sympathize each other. No one can take the upper hand. Because everyone are in the same boat. Only thing happens if you are going to assume you as a meditator. If you are going to assume I am a spiritual being. If you are going to say I am a better person. That is the beginning of the question. No, no, understand you are just another grain of sand in the sand bed. Each and every grain is equal. So you will get the full membership in the sand bed. You are nothing special. Ananta Aluka Ganga Nibbuddha. Ananta Nibbuddha Jina. Yeah, there's one kind of thing that in the Gangi River, lot of sand bits and innumerable amount of sands. Grains. You are yet another one. Try to be yet another one. Don't try to claim that I am a precept holder, I am a donor, I am an organizer. And she is maybe more happy with that to tell that she is organizing. I don't care. And whenever you are going to assume, you are asking for troubles. Unassuming way, no one can prick you. Unassuming, non-reaction, and agreeing with the team, they are the shock absorbers. You must have four shock absorbers in your vehicle. Otherwise, no devices. The journey is very difficult. The shock absorbers absorb everything, never give the shock to the passengers. Like as unassuming, nature can absorb any amount, but never give the shock. Or non-reaction, you can assume any amount of shocks that you are not giving back. And agree with the whatever me the society you are there, never going to make any fuss. What you say that everyone is, wow, what is the majority idea? I am with that. That's it. But you are not going to be with that society daily or long. So you have the chance to go out. And wherever you go, try to beat into that society. It is the way that Zen Buddhists are telling that you must be like water. When you pour into a vessel, it takes the shape of the vessel. It goes to the bottom. Keep the surface level. No one can dislocate it. That's the nature.
wherever you go to, go to the bottom level, bottom most level, and keep the upper level flat. Very easy to tell. But when you are practicing, your ego, your conceit, and your desire is like pricks hacking you and feel like you are non-jalaika and what is it?
Timid.
I think not timid. Non-jalaya, even at tongue. Yeah, people say that you are not smart enough and you are idiot and you are fool and you are out of the place like that. And there is very good tankilesas. That blame is very good tankilesas. Everyone will kick you off and you are we call the citizen zone. You are just a citizen zone. You are no one. Or city police in Singapore. Assume the citizen zone state. You will not be more than any superior. Then that become your art of living. And inside you have the full vigilance, full diligence and mindful as much as possible, but non-judgmental. When you are judging whether I am successful, the other party is defeated, or I am defeated, the other party is successful, no. That non-judgmental idea or choicelessness, and that is being attributed to the mindfulness only by the Westerners, but the Asiatic culture still yet to understand the power of mindfulness. It has so much of attributes. Actually, it leads to equanimity, the equipoise mind, and unshakable mind, or that is called Taoism, unirritating, unshakable mind. Of course, for the moment, we are not, but we are looking forward that each and every friction is a lesson. Each and every fight, calamity, is a teacher. So don't throw them away as a defeat or as a mishap or as a lack of precepts, nothing. But they are the teachers. So it can happen. I will assure you, even you become an arahant, you can be a friction. You can be a problem to the society. Can't help. The society is not enlightened. It is like the Buddha says, I never make any confrontation or fighting with the world, but the world will never fighting with me, even out of the enlightenment. So therefore, many people have their own ideas, their own opinions, never mind. Main thing is not to worry. Keep your stream of consciousness clear. And if something happened, go back and analyze it and see. If you can't, it is lack of mindfulness, nothing else. So try to be mindful equally in the good opportunities and the bad opportunities. And the mindfulness is such a thing. For example, if you are completely angry, if you are completely lost your temper, but mindfulness has its own space to know I am angry. Anger can't brush it off mindfulness. Never. Never. And you are full of desire. Full of, under control of the grip of the desire, still you can be aware that I am under the grip of the desire. So that indicates 99% of the desire can't destroy the 1% of mindfulness. That you have to believe the mindfulness, not the 99% of the desire. So that is why the Buddha says the good qualities, the Buddha says that skillfulness is so powerful. Even the huge amount of unskillfulness can't brush it off. So mindfulness there. To tell you, now you are angry. Now you are in a desire. Now you are in a bewilderment. Now you are in the jealousy. Now you are in the envious. So without that you become envy. How can you understand the firsthand characteristic of the envious nature? Not by the outsiders, not by the yesterday envy, not by the tomorrow. It must be under the red-handed, still don't lose the sight of mindfulness. Very easy to tell, but very difficult to put into practice.
But is it easy to grasp? possible to drive a car with mindfulness?
It says that is why monks are not being allowed to take driving license. It's a huge issue in Sri Lanka. The monks are not given. But then the monks who have gone outside the Sri Lanka, they are driving. Because it says that so much of things are happening. I think the monks are the best drivers. It is a separate issue. But maybe a good driver, but lack of mindfulness. So that is why the equipment and some kind of thing Buddha says, don't get entangled, don't get engaged with, because that your perspective will be different. So therefore, do walking as much as possible. If someone give a lift, then can go if you like. Otherwise, walking. All these equipments make man and as an animal. The science is killing you. Whenever you're pressing the button, you get it, everything. You lose the mind connections and the brain circuits all become numbed, all become anesthetized. Because you are doing the daily the same thing, you become like a robot. So therefore, if you wish to live, go to forest, just like a girl guide, or like a boy scout, improvisation, be alert, be prepared. That is the full life. That is why the Buddha says, Aranyagatuva, Rukhamulagatuva, Sunyagaragatuva. Otherwise, if you are going to live in the full sophistication, you are almost like a corpse. Dead. That is not the security. Ultimately, at the deathbed, and with the whole challenge and desperate death, complete disappointment. But instead, live in the open challenges, and therefore all your brain is ever working. All the unused circuits are ready to use. But when you are living in such a mechanical life, only less than 2% of your brain is working. 98% of your brain is brand new, unused. And politicians, 100% brand new. They never use it. They use the secretary's brain. So therefore, make you the full bloom. Full, this thing, it happened with the new challenges. The new moment is fresh. Don't expect it to be something. You try your best to fit into the next moment. And therefore, the brain has to run in the full capacity. That is what you call enlightenment. Not that living in the control situation, pressing buttons and kind of thing.
And when we know that the best thing to do is to go into the forest and to sit in a hut or at the root of a tree.
Yeah.
But then, for some reasons, we do other things.
Due to your past karma, your bad karma. Simple.
Mm. So, when we understand that these things are not beneficial for us, say, in direction of enlightenment, where one would be inclined to, maybe, but like following through with what we have agreed upon or what we have been thrown into, would that be wearing off the karma then?
Only the key is, now you are in an unfortunate situation, that is not the best.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, as you mentioned, maybe it is you are paying off for the past karma. But as a yogi, your prime responsibility is don't make new karma under such circumstances. That is what vipassana is. You are now in agony. That is not your wish. It is something happening. So mind is sick. Don't make decisions. Any decision you make under that the disturbed situation leading to bad destination. So, best thing is, first thing no harm, first do no harm, sabbhavapa sakarna. Whenever you do something, don't try to be skillful, don't try to be meritorious, try to not to do harm. That must be your leading characteristic. So, that means not letting the new karma to arise. Because under the troubled water, mind can rush into the wrong decision. Ultimately, you have to suffer. People are causing, that is sure. But you are the only savior for your future. So now is the best challenge for you. You understand, now present situation it is to the past karma. Now you are full-fledged blooming and you are in a such agony. And people will come and say, take that decision, quick, hurry up. And to understand, mind you, I have to take care about my future. So therefore, my main thing is not to get rushing decisions and make no harm. So that is why Buddha says, Sabba Bhava Sakarana, Kusala Sopa Sampada, Sachitta Pariyodapana, Itam Buddhana Sasana. It is not the Gautama the Buddha's advice. He says, all the Buddhas, the history, the club, this thing is all telling the same thing. People are put into trouble, test. And under such situation, your main thing must be not to commit harm, not to commit mistakes. But that part of our Theravada tradition is being eroded off. We are now being trained to do meritorious things, skillful things, and responsibilities, and feeling, patriotic feelings. They are more poisonous and more addiction than marijuana. That is why the Karl Marx told all the religion is nothing but addicts and drugs. But we must understand. You know, I knew the past karma, it is happening. Now I must make relaxed decision. My main task must be not to commit a new karma. So Arthur Schopenhauer is a German, I think. Arthur Schopenhauer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He told, each and every will is evil.
Mm-hmm.
Each and every will is ill will. So make your stream of consciousness no will, no expectation, nothing, ready to accept what is happening. So at the stage in your meditating experience, advancement, you have to understand up to this point, yes, you have to take a decision to become a nun, you have to take a decision to go to the forest, you have to take a decision to establish mindfulness, you have to take a decision to develop concentration. Once the concentration and mindfulness come up to a certain level, you must trust that concentration and the mindfulness, ask that concentration and mindfulness to take the lead, don't push, don't implement your will, your intentions, your volitional activities, your future plan, surrender everything, let the mindfulness to run. What I am called is putting the machine under autopilot. Their ego has to surrender. Your conceit has to surrender. Your desire has to surrender. It's a conscious decision, of course. So therefore, when Trungpa, who is one of the brilliant person, went to America, he told, each appointment is ending up with a disappointment. So therefore, why don't have an appointment with disappointment? It will never get disappointed. Best thing is to have an appointment with the disappointment. You have to understand next moment is utter disappointment. It's a new appointment. Don't have any kind of assurance for the next moment. Anything can happen. You must be like a girl guide, like a boy scout. Be prepared. You know, that is what the Baden-Powell said. Sir Baden-Powell told, first thing and the foremost for the scouts are, be prepared. Buddha mentioned, mindful. Appamada in the between Sampadi. So this is evaluation. That's the evaluation for your life. If you are evaluating towards that, you will understand day-to-day challenges, mishaps are golden rules and teachers, living Buddha, for you to put into them and make no more commitments, no more intentional decisions. Let the thing happen, let the unwind. And behave in such a way, you are just a grain in the sand bed, nothing special. Don't tell it. People will be very happy to put you posts and designations and put you up on the pedestal and whitewash. It is not for your benefit. They are putting into for what? Their own benefit. In the Jesus Christ was asked to take the decision about the fair distribution of properties among the two brothers.
younger brother who had the unfair decision, he went and asked Jesus, "Oh, son of God, my elder brother is going to claim everything. Why don't you take this case and give fair judgment?" He said, "Who appointed me as a lawyer? You appoint because you want to get a favorable decision." You see, everyone put garlands to us for what? You think that they are the real honor for us? No. They are putting garlands to get the job done. Once the job done, whether your head is chop it off, never mind. But their job is done. So world is such. Therefore, be ready, just like a baby. Prepare for the next moment. No preconceived ideas. No expectation. And you try your best to fit into that situation, but not to commit your karma. Hard job. Hard job. No, equanimity is the end result of that. This is something practical. This is something pragmatic. This is called Appannaka Patipada, Samichi Patipada, Arana Patipada, non-reaction. Aviruddha Patipada. Aviruddha means non-reaction. But we are such fellows reacting like anything and committing so much, ultimately accumulating so much of unwanted karma, karmic forces. So our future will be worst. So therefore, take a piece of paper, pure white, no diagrams. Keep it as white as possible. Don't draw anything. Next moment also white paper. Another moment also white paper. Another moment also white paper. No planning, no implementation, no will, no wish, no volition. There you are. So when the problem arises, to keep such a stream of consciousness, what is the motivation? You can't answer. With what motivation you expect the next moment to be blank? We are motivated by motivation theory. Benefit and the punishment. But when you are leveling off, this thing ultimately you end up with, what make you to take that decision not to react? How can you keep this decision to the each and every thought moment? You can understand. Buddha says it's unhuman. Person who can do such a way of life, he says not only the devas, even the brahmas are pay respect. Because no one can understand why such a person is taking this kind of a life. No one can understand, no one can gauge it. Even that particular person can't gauge it. Because no one can justify it. One can see with what is the motivation for that person to take the spiritual life. As far as there is a motivation, it is filthy. As far as there is a will, ill will. As far as there is a will, evil. So that same idea brought forward by the Friedrich Nietzsche. And they were the very first people introduced this anatta, non-governability. It is the best psychology, philosophy, and they were kicked off telling they are nihilistic. They were not productive, innovative. But Atishova now is the first person to read the Buddhist books ever in the West. Hard task. That is possible. Difficult but possible. And that's the maximum you can do for the benefit of the sasana.
You sacrifice all that for what purpose is there for nibbana?
So if you crystallize the nibbana, yes, but nibbana is not a thing. You can't crystallize it. The Nibbana, you can't figure it out. What you are figuring it out is just mind-made vomit. When you go to the Nibbana, that is not the Nibbana. Never.
So, the end of suffering.
That you can say. That end of suffering means now you are going to face a calamity or difficult situation. End of suffering is don't react.
don't commit. This is happening due to your past karma, but upon that, don't create new karma. You are perfect. You are around. You are in Nibbana. You are in equanimity. You are in equipoise mind. Your mind is unshaken. And many things it is impossible, but I am telling possible. But you can't justify it. Your ego is not justifying it. Your conceit is not justifying it. Your desire is not justifying it. But leave aside that, but we can. That is why the Bhattacharya, he was desperate. All the properties and everything gone, even no clothes. Come into the audience, the Buddha says, sister, be mindful, that's it. She became mindful. She was naked. It is no problem for to be mindful. All the children gone, husband gone, father and mother, everything gone, her reputation gone. Be mindful. That is Buddha directly addressed to her. All the other people were very upset to see such a young girl, young woman, coming naked, mad, to the society, to the audience, Buddha says, sister, be mindful, possible. Even Angulimala, it happens, when he's chasing behind the sword, the Buddha told, hey, I stop. If possible, stop. And Angulimala found that the person is going faster than my run, still he says, I am stopped. He's challenging me to be stopped. He lost his arms. And so he found that if I need, I can stop. If I need, I can make a big how by killing Buddha. Oh, there are the breaks are there. Each and every moment there is a break. Some people get it in a quick way. Some people learn it very slowly. Nowadays, you find many people developing in a slow manner. But at the when things happen, they happen electric. Each and every knowledge, each and every understanding is electric. They won't show any color one thought moment before, just like a lightning in the sky. Lightning won't show any color, any sign before lightning. No sign after lightning. Lightning also split second. So you have to observe while it is lightning, like that you have to be very alert. Main thing is not to commit and let this event pass without your smearing, your conceit, your desire, your egoistic. And then it won't have any backlash. So what is happening is you are bearing and tearing off your past karma.
Excuse me. There is right effort leading to what you said just
now. Right effort is fitting up to the point you come to develop mindfulness and the concentration. You have enormous energy, enormous effort. And the second part is just let the dhamma to work and withdraw. That's also kind of effort that you call effort with wisdom. Paripurna vidya, that is now is a fulfilling, you withdraw yourself and let the dhamma to work. And it's also an effort to not to effort, not to make an effort. And that is the real sanna vaya. It is like when you are in the pole vault, you have to use the pole to go to the peak. At the peak you have to throw the pole. Otherwise what happens? You will never win the villain. You throw the jettison in the pole and go to the peak and throw the pole. With the jump only you run, topple over the bar. Otherwise if the pole is going to tap the bar, you are not going to be the villain. So that throwing, the very thing helped you to come up to that moment. It not justified in the nature of some normal society. It's called that back-legged. So much the pole is so much helpful you to go to the peak. But at the peak moment you have to throw it away. Otherwise you won't be a successful pole vaulter. Very radical. Now we have taken 15 minutes more than we scheduled.
One day, you mentioned about not to commit any more karma. What about the kusala karma like?
So, if you wish to do kusala karma, you can go to the heaven and be there. If you put some vegetable into the fridge and deep freeze and lock it, vegetable will be there a long time. Like when you go to the Brahma world, it is like a vegetable in the deep freezer. You can live long. No problem. If you wish, it is more than the death. All the kusala karma is extending your life in the sansara.
But then again, even to come to a retreat like this, we should have previous kusala karma.
Yeah.
That's very good.
So I have to explain the good and the better. Better and the best. Due to your goodness, once you come here, and now you have the good and the better. Still, if you say, I am the good make me to come here, therefore I never forego good, if I forego the better, but still I adhere to the good. You have to forego the better. But the Buddha says, the good people get the better. When you see the better, throw away the good and go to the better. Otherwise you are stagnating. So yesterday's goodness, today is bad. Otherwise you can't go to the better. When you go to the better, better become good. Still another better you have. And then you throw away that one. That is why it is very radical. It is like the Saturn V rocket. It's burning so much of fuel through push-off. And then ultimately, one by one, the fuel tank has to throw away. So that is a very valuable thing. But you can't go with that to the moon. When you go to the moon, you go only with the very subtle, very little one, all the other has to be properly. But what we do is, due to its antique value, we try to keep the whole fuel tank. It becomes an utter burden for little subtle to go to the moon. You have to throw them away. Most difficult thing is to throw away your kusala or your good things. Good things are doing equal bad if you are attached. Very difficult. The traditional Buddhists are burdened with these ideas and their own accumulated kusala. So, vilanku what am I talking about? Vilanku what am
chains.
Yeah, they belong your own chains, your own burden. So, therefore, you don't know how to use the kusala. You become a slave to kusala. You do good thing and forget about. Good thing and forget about. Never claim them. Even what the bad thing happened, forget about.
Then, sorry, Kanthi, some say that if you think about your meritorious things on and on, it will grow. And if you do the bad things and if you think about it, it also grows. Is it true?
Definitely, you think about the good in order to get rid of the bad. That is the purpose of thinking of good. No more than that. But if you get the better, equally you have to throw away the good in order to claim the better. So it's a idan nisaidam pajahata. You have to throw away that. With respect to that, you throw away this. And that too, so you have to understand this also better be thrown away tomorrow. So likewise, you have the utility value. You know any eternal value. Know any nirapeksha. Absolute value. Nothing in the world have any absolute value. Everything has relative theory. That is why Einstein became a big man. The relativity theory. Buddha mentioned 2600 years ago. Still Einstein yet to understand. Sorry, the fellow died. The Buddha is much, much smarter than Einstein. And Einstein will get the Nobel Prize and the Templeton Prize and the Magsaysay Prize. But what the prize we can't give to the Buddha? No. Because if you wish to give a prize to another person, you must be better. There's no better person than Buddha to give a prize. So when you are practicing it, when you are developing the mindfulness, you understand the relative value, pragmatic value, practical value of everything. But nothing to behold, nothing to put into a casket and pay respect. You become slave. Each and everything must be a ladder to push you up and go on there, you throw away. It is not unkind or kind of quality, but that is the way the Buddha is explaining. You better read the
ඵලායතන විභංග සුත්‍ර.
Sometimes people say when you do it like this that you are very egoistic, but you just see the next step where you should go and leave the rest behind and they call you egoistic.
I'll tell you, people, those who are calling you egoistic are the people you admired, you loved. So Buddha says, all the lovable beings are going to end up with suffering. The normal beings, so they're not relevant to you, never come and claim that thing. Known unseen beings never come and say, don't do that, you are selfish kind of thing. Those people you valued, your inner circle, other people become burdened. Inner circle, it's a universal truth. Otherwise, people can't come and influence you. With their distance. Pimato jayati soko, tannaya jayati soko. Have you heard about in Dhammapada? Whatever you desire, ultimately you will become your own burden. That is why the Schopenhauer told, any will is evil. So it is very, appear like very negative and destructive. But that is the truth. It's a bitter truth. So don't show it, but use this as an antidote when the mishap happens. Don't express it, don't try to use it as a weapon, but get an explanation for when a bad thing happens. Any bad thing happens to you is due to your desired one, desired properties, you are too loved. Channaya jayati soko, channaya jayati bayam. Piyato jayati soko, piyato jayati bayam. So therefore the Buddha says, piya bahuta kalahi vada. Any calamity, any fight, any protest is due to desire. So you are committed, already committed. You can find fault with them because you made them so due to your attraction. That is why they have a saying. But I am telling not to find fault with them. Understand how they are working in the vicious way. Entangle is each other. And when you understand, you understand the human mind. You understand the existence. You understand the samsara. You understand the profound teaching of the Buddha. And you see how difficult, how much you have to get rid of the egoistic idea. How much you have to get rid of the conceit. How much you have to get rid of the desire to understand such a philosophy. Such an idea. And once you understood, you are not the same person. Definitely you will be another person. You evolved. Evolving into the least regional part. And obviously you are ending up with less and less encountering, less and less friction. But still you are living in the world. But ultimately people will push you off. You become useless to the society. They will ask, get out. You have to say, I'm sorry, what is the mistake? I did like you, plead, but happily you go ta-ta. Go out. These are the most classic things in the world, classic writings, classic poems, classic utterance. So that is why the Buddha is such an artist. He has written into the very decent words. He has presented it into the complete grammatical way, as presented with the existing words, that is communicating something unexplainable and evolving the person, or giving the person the way out, not to come into the vicious circle. Okay, now 25 minutes extra. You have to pay for overtime.
2 more minutes, one day. Just 2 more minutes of your walking time. I'm going to say that I'm going to offer our Bhante with all the respect, all the love that all she has. As our Bhante is our Kalyanamitta, he has marked another milestone in his life 2 days ago. And your love offering this very book is a number one, which I promised him as our respect and love from all of us. And we wish him all the best and all the long life for the Sasanic Seva.
They would say, Sadhu, meanwhile I am telling that if anything you have to offer, wait till the last day, otherwise it will be a big issue to offer it after each and every Dhamma talk, and it is not nice. So keep all the thing. The last day we have a separate party, going down party, and they are there. But for the moment I offer, I accept it, thank you very much. And otherwise that we are disturbing our yogic kind of thinking, so maintain it, simply mind your own business. And be mindful as much as possible, and ultimately make use the maximum of this time. And don't think that when you go back home and kind of thing, you will get such a precious time. So what I'm sharing as much as possible is may not be sweet in taste, but a little bitter. But you can't deny. And you can find many people talking directly on these kind of subjects. They wanted to have a sugar-coated pills. But ultimately, beyond the sugar coating, you have to have the medicine. But get rid of the sugar coating and try to get it. And I think we have enough merits, we have enough skills, we have enough opportunities. And that is the most requested or necessary for the time being for the sasana. Thank you very much for the participation.